about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I need to open with a very critical breaking news announcement.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, we have another call. This is from Pittsburgh. Elizabeth, welcome.
I don't like the name Kevin.
You don't like it?
Kevin, to me, it's just never sounded right. Like, it's like, and they've done studies that teachers are predisposed to not like Kevins.
Really?
What? Yeah, because, no, it's true, because they tend to be troublemakers.
Yeah.
And in certain cultures, I think it's someplace in the UK, to call somebody a Kevin is an insult. You know, he's a Kevin, you know, it's like,
yeah.
And if you look at movies, a lot of times, they'll take the a-hole and they'll maybe have it. Just, yeah. Now.
Everyone, looky. Who is that?
And now, really difficult to hear that with being hungover.
Our feature presentation.
Why is it hard to hear when you're hungover?
Not sure.
Huh.
You have to ask that guy who said it.
That guy's an idiot. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, and it's the 32nd of Rocktober.
Oh.
Don't think it works like that. Think we just get
can't keep that going.
We just get 31 days of Rocktober. I'm sorry.
First of November.
Oh, Merry Christmas!
Whoa,
Merry Christmas indeed.
Let's do Thanksgiving. Let's start with Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Yeah.
How long have you been here? You reckon, Kevin?
20 seconds.
Yeah. How's that feel?
Real good. Real good. I saw Muggs in the hallway. I was like, I think I'm gonna make it. Yeah, it's not ideal.
Is it the way to live a life, or is it not?
No.
It's not.
No, it is not.
Allie and I were talking about it.
I don't enjoy that part.
When Chip told us, she texted and said 5:35, I think Allie and I would die of stress if that were our life. Like, we wouldn't be able to, like, my heart would explode.
Yeah, I told Bean, if I'm not 10 to 15 minutes early to something and driving around, you know, just waiting to go into somewhere,
circling.
Something feels off to me. It's pathetic.
I feel like the way that you guys live is a better way. I do.
Yeah?
Yeah, I really do.
However,
I'm not willing to commit. I'm not capable of it.
I see.
So it's just not in you.
Right. You just have to make peace with who you are.
Okay.
Okay.
And I'm guy that shows up with 20 seconds to go. # late to work club.
All right. Oh, wow. A new movement.
Who knew?
Hey, we have a big show today, including one of our favorite guests is making a return appearance. I'm very excited about today, but I want to start with this story. And I asked Chip, I said, are we doing too many of these kinds of stories? And she said, no, because I can't believe it happened again. Here's the headline from CNN.com. She went into the hospital for kidney stones.
Yes.
And came home with a baby. Now, I just...
Oh, are they giving him out?
You see, no, she had a child. She was pregnant and gave birth within an hour of arriving at the hospital, and she thought she had kidney stones.
Come on.
And we see these stories and we go, anyone who's ever known a woman who's pregnant can't get his head around how this is possible.
Yeah.
Right?
We took calls one day, didn't we?
Yes.
Yeah.
This happened to people that listen to our show.
It does happen. This is Stephanie Jagers of Locust Grove, Georgia, was suffering significant stomach pain last week. She thought it was kidney stones since she went to the hospital. While she was being evaluated, a technician asked her how far along she was in her pregnancy. And she shot him an evil look and said not only was she pregnant, she was on her period. So imagine her surprise when she ended up in emergency surgery.
You mean not only was she not pregnant?
Not only was she not pregnant.
Right,
that's
okay.
Right. Yes. Yeah. She said, no, there's no way and I can prove it. Right?
Got it.
So imagine her surprise when she ended up in emergency surgery and the doctor got an ultrasound. She said, I was pretty much in shock, and she had a baby less than an hour later.
Whoa.
She was worried, of course, because she hadn't had any prenatal care, and the baby was in trouble. The baby was breech, was sitting, and his feet were up by his head. It was a crazy, unbelievable couple of hours, but when the baby was born, everything was okay. The baby is completely healthy, 7 pounds, 3 ounces, a little boy. What was my reaction? The dad said, well, the first thing I thought was doubt and then fear. And then I began running through my mind everything my wife had done the past couple of months, wondering if we'd done anything to jeopardize the baby that we didn't know was coming. Had she eaten something wrong? A few months ago, she had broken her ankle. She had an x-ray taken. Could that have hurt the baby? We'd been to Six Flags. She rode on a couple of roller coasters. Not exactly standard activity for pregnant women.
When do we go to the Maury Povich show? Make sure it's mine.
The baby, Sean, is, as I mentioned, 7 pounds, 3 ounces.
Wow.
This family, by the way, has three other children. So it's not like the woman didn't know anything about being pregnant. They have a 16-year-old, an 11-year-old, and a 2-year-old at home.
Oh, she did not know.
She did not know. How does all this work now, going from a family of five to a family of six, all in the blink of an eye? So they are really hustling right now. They got a network of family and friends that are pitching in, trying to, you know, get sleeping arrangements worked out, trying to get stuff for the baby. They had nothing for the baby. They thought they were long done with having babies, and they just can't believe it. And then, of course, you know, he says, look, I know everybody makes fun of these stories. You know, I never would have believed it could happen to us either. We're asked the same question. We've been called stupid. We've been called dumb. We've been called ignorant. But until it happens to you, you can't really grasp it. My wife knows the symptoms. She knows the signs. There were zero. It's a miracle.
Well, the fact that she had her period makes me go, oh, God.
Understandable.
Absolutely.
A little bit more understandable than some of the other ladies, right?
That's just insane.
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine how that would just turn your whole world upside down?
Yeah,
I
your
mean,
life you changing are, that dramatically yeah. in 1 hour.
Yes.
That poor are, two-year-old isn't
yes.
the baby anymore.
In fact, they
so
say
pissed.
That the two older boys have been great. They've really stepped up. The two-year-old daughter, Sadie, not so much.
No.
She's not quite ready to give up the spotlight. She still wants the attention.
Oh, Sadie, I get it.
So there it is. I think that's at least the second one this year. And we've had, you know, a dozen of them over the years where we've seen that happen. But I guess at this point, we just shouldn't be surprised. We should realize it's just a thing, right?
USA!
Well, I don't know that it's something to be
what?
Proud of, but
I don't know if we cheer it.
Right.
Well, I think, are we number one in that?
We might
so
be.
Probably, we are.
Yeah.
We might be.
Okay.
USA! USA! USA!
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
Oh, my God, you're a legend. I can't believe you're here.
From Joel McHale's new TV show. We're excited to have him in studio. That's called The Great Indoors. And he's also got a book out.
Sure.
Long time.
From the library?
No, he's written a book.
Oh, he's written a book. I see.
Yeah.
Better.
It's called Thanks for the Money, .. And then there's like seven paragraphs after that in the title of it. Offensive Halloween costumes that you saw. We're going to take your calls. Ralph has a gift from the devil. We'll talk about that today.
Mm. Wait, say it again?
Ralph has a gift from the devil.
A gift from the
yes.
devil? I don't even know what that is.
That's 620.
Okay.
Take a look. He's got a gift from the devil.
Okay.
I believe he is
like
possessed.
I don't like it.
People are dumb.
Yeah?
Is a feature that we're going to do.
Oh, okay.
Bill Cosby is claiming that he is too blind to defend himself.
In karate?
In court.
Oh.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't make any sense at all.
He could still remember what happened.
You would think. You would think. And one of our favorites, Ming-Na Wen from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Very excited about that. We're going to talk to her today as well. We'll take a break. We will come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:54.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hey, Bean Baxter.
How was your Halloween?
Oh, magical.
Was it fun?
Mystical. Mysterious.
Get any good candy?
Spooky. And scintillating. I didn't get any candy, Bean, because I was not out trick-or-treating.
Oh, I thought you might have gone with the little girl.
Handing coffee, candy out and coffee.
Oh,
I was giving coffee.
Coffee.
To kids. Yeah, because they weren't pumped up enough.
So they need.
Come on, wake up! And I'd give them just kids a shot of espresso sometime. Just to kind of get them through the next leg of their gauntlet.
But, that's a good idea.
Yeah, there was a ton of kids and a lot of candy was given out, and my kid went out and she got a ton of candy, and a good time was had by all. How did you fare? First time doorbells ringing, knocking, little goblins at your doorstep. With wide eyes and open bags looking for a Mr. Goodbar.
I was a little bit surprised to find out that there is, again, this is Ralph's making a reference to this, is my first Halloween in a new house in a new city, and I'm in a city now, New Orleans, so people can walk right up to my door, which I'm not used to. But apparently there's a map of streets that are Halloween approved in the Garden District. And my street apparently not on it. And I don't know if that means we're dangerous or...
Gene lives in a bad part of town.
Or sketchy or what.
Or how recently did they change that list? When did you move in? What was the date?
It's been about 2 months now, I guess.
Avoid the tall, creepy guy.
Get the new list out.
So apparently there's like a parade route. And that's where all the kids go to do their trick-or-treating. And apparently I was left out of that, which I was fine with. Which I was okay with. But so still no trick-or-treaters for me.
That's the name of your autobiography.
How odd.
No trick.
It was a surprise.
That there's zones that you don't go into.
Strange, right?
because of the dangerous creepy men.
Well, I don't know that it had anything to do with dangerous or creepy. It just,
was your picture on the front of that at the map?
I wondered what that was about.
The Ghostbusters red line through it.
Pretty weird.
You know, I love the Halloween, and my kid does too. And as I've mentioned before in the show, we do it up in my house. We decorate. We make a big deal out of it. And I think we may have overdone it a little bit.
Oh, why?
Well, the way my house is configured, it's not a standard front doors in the front. There's a walkway that goes up the side of the house, and then you enter through the side of the house.
Okay.
If that makes any sense. It's not hidden. It's a large walkway with a stone path, and you go up to the side of the house. So there's a fence there, and then there's the house in that long walkway. And I thought it would be fun to really do up that pathway and make it like the scary...
Like the creepy corridor.
The walk of death, kind of, you know?
You got to earn the candy.
Right. So at the end of the sort of the corridor there, you see there was a skeleton hanging there and red lights shooting up at it. And there was a face looking out through the window of the house with blinking lights that were flickering on and off. And we had looked like flames coming up on one side. And there were human hands reaching up from between the fence slats, you know, towards people.
Wow. A real dead body?
It wasn't a real dead body. Okay. We had sort of like a creepy butler with a crow on his shoulder at the outset that would talk to you when you walked by kind of
thing. It sounds awesome.
It sounds like you're trying to warn them off.
That's not what it was at all.
I feel more beckoning.
That's what I was looking for. I was looking for a fun, spooky beckoning. Like you get like a fun walk up to the door and then you get your candy.
And when they ring the doorbell, do you hear?
You are all going to die tonight.
No, you don't hear that. But I did hear throughout the night... several times, groups of kids going, no, let's go to the next one. I'm not going in there. And a lot of, you go first. No, you go first.
Aww.
So I think maybe we did not get the achieved effect.
Overdid it a bit.
We did not get the effect, rather, that we wanted to achieve in the sense that I think we lost out on some trick-or-treaters this year because of...
That's funny.
The fear of death. So maybe we'll just ease up on the scary a little bit.
Back that off a bit.
Next year, we'll try to do better. All right, speaking of trick-or-treating, let me give you a treat. K-Rock listeners, I know it sucks to get up this early in the morning, so let me give you a little something to make it easier. Kevin doesn't even do it. That's how much it sucks. He doesn't even get up anymore in the morning. He hates it so much.
I'm here.
We are giving away tickets to the red carpet premiere of the movie Arrival.
Yeah!
It's this Sunday at the Village Theater in Westwood. This movie, by the way, getting rave reviews. Looks awesome. Jeremy Renner, Amy Adams, Forrest Whitaker, great cast. If you'd like to see the movie Arrival at its red carpet premiere, why don't you give us a call right now. 1-800-520-1067. This Sunday at the Village Theater in Westwood, you and a friend will get to go if you're one of the first five callers at that number. So give us a call now and you'll get to see Arrival before anybody else, which is... November 11th is when it's in theaters, but you'll see it early.
I just wish my brothers were alive to see this.
Yeah. Why? What happened to your brothers?
They're all dead now.
Oh. Maybe I'll put that announcement in the death corridor next year for Halloween. Scare the kids off. Oh, look at the time. Didn't get one showbiz story in. Sorry about that, kids. I'll do better next time, I promise. Today's celebrity birthdays. Penn Badgley, the actor, is 30 years old today. Toni Collette, great, lovely and talented actress, is 44. Jenny McCarthy, former Playmate of the Year and science denier, you know, things like that. She got that show on Sirius. Have you ever tried to hear any of that?
God, no.
I have heard it.
Man, that's a tough listen.
Why would you? What does she talk about?
She does. It's a talk show. She does interviews and stuff and everything.
Yes.
But, man, it is not good.
That's not the best thing about Jenny McCarthy is her talking.
Yeah.
It's Donnie Wahlberg.
Right?
Right? Who's with me?
He's on the show a lot, too, by the way.
I bet he is.
Oh.
Anthony Kiedis, our buddy from Red Hot Chili Peppers, turns 54 today. Fernando Valenzuela, former Dodgers legend, is 56. And Hustler founder Larry Flynt celebrates his 74th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
It's going to be tough for you to stem the tide of Christmas conversation, Kevin, now that it's November. Especially when our own radio station is promoting details coming soon on KROQ's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016.
Yeah, it's one of those fights that it's a little annoying because it's still early November and Christmas is so far away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's all right. I'll live.
Okay,
I like
Christmas. We're definitely on. We're definitely sledding down the hill right now toward Christmas. We can't avoid it.
And Christmas is at the bottom of the hill.
I think so.
Yep.
All right, mark the tape, Jeff.
Just waiting for us down there.
Why are we at the top of the mountain if Christmas is at the bottom?
I'm not sure. I maybe didn't think that one through very
well. Really? What a surprise. Which brings us to our new feature, People Are Dumb.
Dumb.
A 21-year-old Spaniard has been arrested for faking his own kidnapping to extort money from his mom.
Oh, no.
The distraught mother turned to police after receiving ransom demands and a message on her phone. This has happened in Madrid. She was told to leave $600 in cash at a secret location. If you want your son to stay alive and you want to live in peace, do not contact the authorities.
Oh.
Okay, very believable so far.
So she contacted the authorities, like you should, and they tracked him down because he was just walking around town. He wasn't hiding. He didn't go anywhere. He wasn't staying with friends.
Huh.
They put out the bulletin and the police are like, well, that's that guy right there. They went up to him and they said, what's happening? And he said, yeah, I was just trying to extort money from my mom because I owe a debt.
Oh, my God.
I owe some people some money. So that's
so
what,
not effective.
I feel like it was less than effective. Yes.
Okay.
Because.
Dumb.
Mansfield man pleads guilty to stealing from VFW post to fund internet porn habit. The former treasurer of the Wilmington Veterans of Foreign Wars pled guilty Friday to emptying the Post bank accounts. Frederick Brown, 72.
Oh, nice. Freddie.
Pled guilty to first-degree larceny for the Wilmington thefts, which totaled $144,000.
He stole $144,000?
And here's my question.
And spent it on porn? What kind of porn?
Online.
How?
You still have to pay for porn online?
He must have been doing like private shows or something.
Yeah,
he must have been doing
cam girls.
Here's what it is. He began spending money to view live online videos of women exposing themselves and performing sex acts.
Oh,
and then apparently you buy tokens and then the more you tip, the more they do.
Freddie.
And his response when asked why was, it was fun.
Well,
$144,000.
I would never have imagined that any VFW would have that kind of cash available.
That was the other question that came up in the story. It's like, why do they have that much money?
Seriously.
There was no answer to that, but they found it out when somebody tried to write a $100 check and it bounced.
Oh, okay. No.
Maybe leave a little something in the account
just
for incidentals.
Dumb.
In Bryan, Texas, police say a 19-year-old Texas A&M University student who rear-ended a police car told an officer she was taking a topless selfie. The little kids. They do love the topless selfies. Miranda K. Rader posted $200 bond after she was charged with drunken driving and possessing alcohol as a minor. She was 19. Police report said the police officer was just sitting there writing down some paperwork, and he heard skidding, and the car slammed into the back of him. And it was because she was taking a topless selfie.
Wow,
now, I want to make sure that we don't...
Out.
I'm sorry, Rodney?
He said you got to check it out.
I want to make sure that we're clear on this, though. The topless selfie, fine with.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Maybe pull over.
Yeah.
And do it safely.
Sure.
Right, not while you're driving.
I'm not sure that you want to run into the back of a police car while doing it. Maybe that's...
Dumb.
And the next one is from Taiwan. There is a place called a Family Mart. And a girl went in, and she was she wanted to use the restroom, and they wouldn't let her. It's for customers only. So, what do you guys... I'm going to take guesses on what you guys think she did to protest.
Oh, dear.
She was very upset. They wouldn't let her use the restroom at the Family Mart. What did she do to protest?
I'm afraid the first thing that came to my mind is she pooped in aisle 6.
Yeah. I was thinking aisle 4. But definitely, she dropped down pooped
what
right there.
What if I told you that it was worse than that?
Oh, no.
She climbed up on the counter where the register is.
Nope.
And you guys explained to me how this is a protest. She took a cup and she peed in it.
Okay.
And then?
Threw it at someone?
No.
Oh. Don't say drank it. Don't say drank it. Don't say drank it. Don't say drank it. Don't say it.
Drank it.
Oh.
No. No, that was, no.
That
no,
was
no,
her
no.
protest.
No.
She
no,
showed
no.
them, right?
Why would you?
I don't know. How do you think, if you have to go to the bathroom really bad and they won't let you, how does it come to your mind to climb up on the counter and pee in a cup and drink it and then?
Like, nothing about this makes sense.
Yeah, she's not well.
Oh, you think?
I know, it's a hot take.
Dumb.
I hate it so much.
Why does that bother you so much? It's funny, Allie.
I was trying to think yesterday why. I mean, it gets under my skin.
I noticed.
And it just creeps me out to no end. I hate it.
My reaction is I'm fascinated that he can do it because I can't, which there's a lot of stuff you do that I can't.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not really doing anything.
But it sounds like you are.
But I don't think I am. But that's what today's all about. Let's back up and talk about what we're talking about, right?
Ralph can talk backwards.
Well, I can't.
And it's because of the devil.
And it's also not, right? So the first two things you've said are completely wrong. That much we know. Here's the thing. There are people who can talk backwards. They can look at a sentence or read a sentence and read it backwards.
And that's really a thing?
That's a thing. Somebody someone at Stryker can do it.
Accurate? Really?
Yes. That's what I've heard. That's
kind
the word of the street.
Freak is Stryker?
I don't know. See, there's your devil,
devil
man.
Right there, devil.
What I do is, like so many things in my life, an impression, an impersonation of what it sounds like when something is played backwards, when someone is backmaster, whatever they call that.
Right.
The thing.
And if I were to hear it separately from this conversation, I would think that that's something being played backwards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's just me mimicking a bunch of sounds and noises to make it sound, doing an impression of something that would be played backwards.
And you get that talent from the devil?
No. Again, okay. No devil involved.
All right.
But like when I was watching Twin Peaks back in the day, I used to see that little, remember the little midget?
Sure.
Now, what they would do is they would take him and he would speak backwards and then they would flip that and he would be speaking frontwards, but it would sound weird because it was played backwards.
Oh, so never? he was a Stryker's people that could actually do it for real.
I guess they would write it out phonetically for some.
Oh, okay.
Something. So he would say it backwards, then they would flip it and play it forwards.
And it sounded really
and it would
awkward
sound weird,
and weird.
Like, I am going to find out when. So it had that sound to it.
Right.
So I became fascinated with that sound, and I just started listening to a bunch of stuff backwards, and I always loved doing an impression of that sound. That sound was so cool.
Who knew that was going to come in handy?
Not me.
When you did it yesterday and Allie started to perspire from fright, she brought up that maybe it's Twin Peaks is the reason why it's so creepy to her is because when she hears you do that voice, she pictures that creepy little voice.
Isn't that why?
You think that's what's going on, Allie?
It literally gives me chills in the back of my jawbone. I hate it.
Why does it bother you so much?
And who gets chills in their jawbone?
People freaked out by stuff.
That old saying, that chills my jawbone. You know how people talk when they're scared, Kevin?
It doesn't make the hair on the back of your neck stand up.
Puts chills right in my jawbone.
You know when it tingles and you're just grossed out?
No.
Now, what if, Ralph, what if what you really didn't know, and Kevin is right, you are possessed by the devil, what if you don't think you're saying anything when you make the backwards noise, but if you did it and then we flipped it around and it really did say something, what if that happened?
You think maybe I'm speaking in tongues or
something? Yes, and you don't even know it.
Maybe the spirit world is trying to talk through me?
And by spirit world, you mean devil.
Yes. Okay, Kevin. The devil.
Let's try.
Do we have the technology to do that?
We do, yes. Ralph will say something, and then we're going to flip it backwards. So he's going to talk backwards.
So I'm going to just do some goofing. I'm going to make some backwards noises.
Yes.
Then we'll actually take that. We will flip it around.
Correct.
And play it and see if it sounds like anything forward.
Maybe you are saying stuff you're not even aware of.
Oh, I don't know if I want to know the answer
because
to this question.
Devil.
I don't know if I want to know.
How's your jawbone, Allie?
Not good.
Getting chills in your jawbone? All right, so I'm just going to say something weird, and then we'll flip it and see what it sounds
like. Yes. All right, everybody quiet. Here we go.
That's
nothing. As far as I know, it's just nonsense sounds. Of me doing an impression of what it sounds like when something is played backwards.
Here's how that sounds reversed. Now it's forward.
Okay.
Okay, so nonsense.
Nothing. So no devil.
Okay.
All right.
Feeling a little better.
Let me try it again.
You honestly think that he was saying
something? I think honestly he is possessed. And right. It's very scary.
Devil. Okay.
Let me try it again. I'll try to make some more clearer sounds, perhaps. We can maybe at least we can, it'll sound like something.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Los Nevenyovsky Olivars, you have been good to put it.
It's the strangest talent ever.
It's not a talent.
All right. Here we go. This is it. Reversed.
All right.
Essentially sounds the same forward and backwards.
Yeah.
So no devil.
Questionable.
You're not sure?
Nope.
One last try?
Let's try one last one last try.
Quiet on the set.
Keep your feel of you love not need.
Okay.
How was that?
That was good. Let's reverse it. Let's reverse it.
Bean is unbelievably creepy.
Hey, wait a minute!
I do have a connection with the other side.
Next hour, our old friend Joel McHale joins us, you know, from The Soup and Community, and he's got a new TV show on CBS called The Great Indoors, plus a new book out on how we can be like Joel McHale. Is that something we want to be, by the way, like Joel McHale?
I think so.
A little bit, yeah.
Anyway, he'll join us in the 7 o'clock hour. That'll be a lot of fun coming up on K-Rock.
So, Dave the King of Mexico.
Don't get me started with him. I've had it up to here with him.
What's up, Bean? What's your issue with Dave?
You know what my issue is with Dave.
What?
Dave thinks that the world needs to see photographs of his dog, Rhonda Ruffy, making a poop.
He does. He does.
That's internet worthy in Dave's mind.
Hey, he does laugh uncontrollably every time.
Oh, man.
Even when you talk about it. And B, he does post it. So he put it on Snapchat and somebody screen capped it and then they sent it to us on Twitter and said, hey, look at what's happening over here on Snapchat.
It's Snapchat. Come on. It's 5 seconds and then it's gone.
Right.
It's the worst 5 seconds of anyone's day who happens to see it. Look.
No, it's the best 5 seconds because you're like, oh, boring. Oh, dog pooping. That's funny.
Why is a dog pooping funny? Look, I know how tough it can be to describe why something's funny. I know that that's a tough question sometimes. But honestly, do the best you can to help me understand why watching your pet poop is fun.
Have you seen the look that dogs give when they're pooping? It's such,
I don't really
it's
intensely
so funny.
I don't stare into
and then
their
they're,
eyes.
They're curled up like a question mark, and then oh my god, the poops. They're funny.
Dave, everyone has seen a dog poop, okay?
Yeah, and everyone goes, that dog's pooping.
No.
See? Look at Kevin's on my side now.
Oh no. What? I'm laughing at you, not with you.
No.
Look, I love my dogs, and I don't enjoy seeing them poop. That's just something you have to put up with.
But what about
as
that
a
face?
Pet owner?
What about that face, Bean?
No, oh, looking at the face.
They look back at you and they're like, I'm doing something bad. You're like, no, you're not. You're doing something good. Do a good job, buddy.
What?
And it's funny. Come on.
It's not.
If it was a picture of
you
pooping,
please jump in.
It would be funny.
It's disgusting.
It's not disgusting.
And it's rude to Rhonda. Really, that's her private time.
That's a great point.
Yes.
No, because she's doing a good job, and I want everyone to know she's healthy.
How about a little dignity for your pet? How about that?
Did you see the picture? It's funny because she's looking back all like, oh, man, don't look at me.
I saw the picture for like a half a second. I couldn't get it out. I couldn't get the image out of my mind. It was awful.
It doesn't really bother me that much. I am fascinated by how funny Dave thinks it
is.
That's pretty.
And by the
way,
that was just on my Snapchat. I didn't post it anywhere else. It was just for the people following me on Snapchat, which is K.com, by the way. And so, look, if people want to rat me out, go ahead. But I didn't post it anywhere else. I just did it on my Snapchat for the quick 5 seconds. Thought it was funny. Boom. I was bored. There you go.
And it's also on Rhonda's Instagram page.
It is not on Rhonda's. Right.
That's what I'm being told.
Oh, yeah, it was, actually.
Oh, Dave.
First of all, Rhonda has an Instagram
page.
There's
so much
Rhonda. Rhonda Ruffy.
We could start with so many things. Pets with their own Instagram pages is kind of annoying to me. It does make other people angry. Dave follows.
Oh, my God.
Mostly.
So many.
Mostly pets.
New one is Popeye the Foodie.
Don't care.
He's so cute.
Nope.
Popeye the what?
Popeye the Foodie. It's a little Yorkie that's around all these like different foods and stuff like that. So he's really cute. You should check him out.
We're not giving Dave enough work to do as the producer of this show.
Right? Let's talk to Hector real quick because I think he can weigh in on this. Hi, Hector.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Listen, Dave, you are completely wrong to be doing this. Don't you know you will give all us Mexicans a sty in our eye if we see a dog pooping?
That's true.
That's what I heard. What about
that? Maybe I'm trying to do that. Yeah, I heard about that.
Why do you hate your people?
You know,
they're not his people.
Yeah, I don't. And you know, it's cool because the camera takes all that power and juju away from it. So
does it
good.
Or does Hector have a sty?
It does. Listen, I'm not the only one who enjoys him.
Dave, what kind of reaction do you get from the people that that made the unfortunate decision to follow you on Snapchat when you post a photo like that?
I get cute. Oh, my God, that's so funny.
Such a liar.
You didn't get any of that.
Such a liar.
Let's see.
He's just looking. He hasn't even looked yet.
Yeah, no, I'm looking at the comments. Yeah. See? Did you teach her that? See, they're proud of the way she's squatting.
Did you teach her that?
Her position is perfect. Listen, I'm not the only one. Casey, the girl on the finger on the button.
Right. You want her on your side?
She loves them as well.
Okay, so she's on your side. Good.
And there's a website dedicated to this.
There's a website dedicated to everything sick.
Dramatic photos of dogs pooping, and it's amazing. I just discovered it last night.
So yeah.
I think I need to follow that on Tumblr.
I can't.
I don't think you're making any progress.
I don't think I have either. But Dave and Casey need to go live on Poop Island and leave the rest of us out of it, right?
But pooping's funny.
It's not.
It's funny.
It's an unfortunate fact of life is what it is. It's not something that should be celebrated. It's not something that should be shared. It's not something that should be advertised.
How often do we talk about
it? I'm fascinated by two things. I'm fascinated by Dave's love, and I'm fascinated by Bean's hate. I'm right in the middle. I don't really care all that much, but I am fascinated that Dave finds it so funny and Bean finds it so offensive.
It's the worst thing in the world.
It's the worst thing in the world.
It is.
It's worse than ISIS.
Dave equals ISIS at this point. Yes. Stop it.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:51.
That gun you like is coming back in style.
How's your job on that?
Little dude. Hate him.
Hey, it's a Tuesday morning, the 1st of November here on The Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph steps in. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
November? I say yes-vember. Right?
Who's with me?
Only those people applauding.
Great month, November, by the way. One of the best.
Yeah.
Because of Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And because of Ralph's giving?
Ralph's birthday's in November.
My birthday's in November.
Oh, gotcha.
And my wife's birthday's in November.
Mm.
Jimmy Kimmel's birthday's in November.
Are you just going to name everybody whose birthday is in November?
Well, mostly all good people.
Okay.
Have birthdays in November.
I caught that. Then I saw what you did there.
Then there's a few bad apples.
I saw what happened.
One bad apple don't spoil the whole bunch.
Wow. Bean, when's your birthday? I forget.
It's in November also.
Okay.
But Bean doesn't celebrate it.
Right.
The guy who celebrates 7/12 Christmas doesn't celebrate his own birthday.
I'm all right with that, though.
You are?
Yeah. Do you want to hear that all year long?
That's true. Oh, can you imagine?
Half birthday?
It's my half birthday.
Come on.
Happy 5/12 birthday, everybody. Yeah, we don't need that. It's a good point. This is great news. I don't know if you know this girl, this singer. You probably don't, but I love Loaded on the Airplane celebrity stories. And we have a new one. Juliette Sims is her name. She was on The Voice.
Okay.
Apparently she was a runner-up in season 2. Way back in 2012, she lost out to someone named Jermaine Paul. Anyway, she was hauled off an American Airlines flight from Charlotte to LAX last Sunday night. And as luck would have it, a lot of people got out their camera phones and recorded the video. She was actually handcuffed and pulled off.
Oh, wow.
By an air marshal. She got into a huge screaming match with her husband. Big fight. Which escalated into her eventually pummeling him.
Oh, no.
Yeah. She repeatedly hit her husband, shouting that she lost a baby last week.
Shouting
that he broke her ribs. Flight attendants got involved. She said, leave me alone. I have 5 million followers on her social media.
Wait,
I guess makes you...
Does that make you immune to laws?
It makes you immune to prosecution.
You
didn't know that?
No, I had no idea.
And then she called her dad from the plane as things were going down, telling him, and wait for it, that I'm on a plane full of Trump supporters. She screamed into the phone.
What?
Oh, dear. Yeah. She was beyond blackout.
Yeah, she was juicing pretty good. So, apparently things not going well for Juliette Sims. And no word on whether she's going to be charged with anything, but she was detained by local police, and the FBI took over.
Oh.
Because, you know, what happens on planes, they gotta respond. And sources say she was questioned and released, but apparently all is well.
The FBI!
The FBI, indeed. Ah, Cookie Monster! Taking a stand. Gotta love Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster taking a stand.
Yeah. He tried to break up a fight between a Native American and a pilot. All this happened in Times Square in New York City, by the way. Okay. Times Square in New York City is what Grauman's Chinese Theater is to us.
Okay.
In terms of the costume characters who circulate and try to get photos taken with tourists and make a buck. So apparently, the pilot thought the Native American costume was racist.
Right.
And, of course, to prove his point, he attacked the man wearing the Native American costume.
Okay.
That's when the fight broke out, and that's when Cookie Monster stepped in. God bless Cookie Monster, right?
Right.
Cookie, peace.
Who would keep the peace without Cookie Monster?
That's when the pilot pulled out a knife.
Oh, no.
And stabbed Cookie Monster in the back.
Oh, my God. Why are you all laughing so hard?
Because this is the worst story ever.
Cookie Monster.
But it's not really Cookie Monster. It's a guy in a really nasty suit.
Oh. No, Ellie, it's okay.
It's all right.
Cookie Monster took himself to the
ears. If it's animated, she's upset. Because it's human, we're fine with it.
Cookie Monster took himself to the ER. And thankfully, the injury was not life-threatening. I guess the costume was padded enough that it didn't he didn't get hurt too badly. So no arrests have been made, but apparently they're on the lookout for a pilot with a knife. So if you see one, please let the New York City PD know.
Wow.
Today's Sesame Street brought to you by the letters E and R. Oh, we have good times, don't we?
Oh, we do.
Yeah. Today is new release day, by the way, for DVDs and what have you. Here's what's available if you haven't checked it out. Star Trek Beyond with Chris Pine, Simon Pegg, John Cho.
That was great.
It was a great film, yeah. I think if you're a Star Trek fan, hell, if you're just an action fan,
yep,
you'll like that. If you want to pick it up on Blu-ray or DVD, that's available today. Bad Moms, they're not good at all, those moms. They drink and stuff. Oh. Kristen Bell, Mila Kunis, Catherine Hahn, all star. And Batman Return of the Caped Crusaders, also released today on DVD and Blu-ray, starring Adam West and Burt Ward in an animated feature film, reprising their roles as Batman and Robin. And Julia Newmar is also there doing the voice of the Catwoman. So I wanted to give people a shout-out for that. That's really great, too, if you're a fan of that series. It's great to have those guys back in that role and playing those characters.
I don't know anyone that's a fan of that series.
What? I was at the San Lee Los Angeles Comic-Con over the weekend, and we did a big panel where we had Adam and Burt and Lee Merriweather, who played Catwoman in the 1960s Batman movie, up on the stage. And we had a packed house. Not a seat to be had. So 50 years later, people still love those guys and those characters. So
did you learn anything new about the Batman TV series this time around?
Not so much.
Yeah.
At this point, I was telling them things about the series.
You're pretty well-versed in what went down.
Yeah. And I've hosted a bunch of panels featuring those guys, so it's kind of fun at this point. I know exactly how to sort of lead them into the stories. Like, hey, didn't this happen once, guys? And then they'll pick it up. Oh, yeah, and they'll pick it up and start talking.
Hey, guys, remember this story?
The hit of the panel, as almost always is the true story about the Catholic League of Decency protesting ABC and 20th Century Fox, the producer of the series, because Robin's bulge looked too big in his shorts.
Is that right?
It was a problem. It was a real problem where they threatened to boycott the series and to motivate all the Catholics in the Catholic League of Decency. And so Fox and ABC had to step in, and they went through a rigorous experimental period of what they could do to mask the bulge in Burt Ward's shorts.
No use, Robin. It's too thick.
That was the problem, apparently. Ooh. So
Bert.
They gave him, they put, plastic cups in there, and that didn't work. That made it look bigger, and then they would give him He swears they would give him these pills that were supposed to keep him flaccid at all
what?
Times.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
What?
Like
come
saltpeter,
on.
It was called back in the day. Saltpeter would keep you from becoming prominent.
Right.
Yes.
Wow.
There was a whole series of levers and pulleys put in place to try to make him not look so big there. So. None of that is in the animated feature, by the way.
It's too bad. That would have been a great thing.
It'd be a great thing. I
love that.
Holy bulges, Batman! I'm pitching a tent! Yes, Robin, it's the oncoming thrust of manhood. Anyway. Today's celebrity birthdays! Larry Flint, our buddy and founder of Hustler Magazine, 74 years old today. Fernando Valenzuela, Dodgers legend, pitcher, is 56. Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers is 54. Radio talk show host Jenny McCarthy is 44 years old today. Tony Collette is also 44, and actor Penn Badgley turns 30. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Our friend Joel McHale joins us shortly here on the Kevin and Bean Show with a new book out and a new TV series, too. I thought he was done with show business. Didn't you think he was gone?
No.
He's back.
A little bit.
Really? I figured we'd use him up.
No.
And the lovely Ming-Na Wen will be joining us from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That's Bean buttering up guests before they get here.
Yeah. That's all coming up here on the world-famous K-Rock.
Bill Cosby's lawyers say he is too blind to defend himself in court.
Too blind.
Too blind. Yes. Right. They say without his eyesight, Mr. Cosby cannot even determine whether he has ever seen some of his accusers, let alone develop defense and gather exculpatory evidence.
When one of the people on his legal defense team came up with that, there were high fives all around, right?
I mean,
seriously, that's genius.
I would assume so, but I would also assume that any judge would go stupid.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because you're blind doesn't mean you can go around and commit any crime that you have.
Right.
That's absurd.
I also feel like this is about the 30th thing they've tried to get out of Bill Cosby having to stay in trial for this. You know, they keep filing motion after motion, and they're hoping that this one sticks, I guess.
This makes no sense.
No.
It just makes no sense at all. So we thought we would check in with Bill and find out exactly what's going on here. Bill?
Kevin and Bean with the 7-0.
I don't know what you just said, but we're happy that you made some time to talk to us on the phone today. How are you?
Well, it's good to be talking to you as well, with all the flim-flams and the peasants first.
So you are legally blind? That's what your attorneys are claiming?
I cannot see things.
Right.
At all.
Right.
It's hard with the seeing not being able to having with the looking.
Right, but I would assume that other people have been charged with crimes that are blind and have to stand trial.
That is true.
Okay.
I would like to not do that.
Right, you're trying to get out of having to stand trial.
All the things with the courts and making out the going away now sounds.
But I feel like you weren't blind recently when you were still doing stand-up shows all around the country, and you seem to be walking around fine. It just seems convenient that all of a sudden you're blind.
I have been blind since 1962.
That's just not true, Bill.
No, it is not.
It's not true at all.
But I am trying not to go with the prison.
Right.
Bean said off the air a little bit earlier today that he's going to be really angry if you die before you go to prison.
Because
that's not cool.
I will also feel the similar. If that is, in fact, the case with all the doing and the being.
So the defense is going to be, Your Honor, I can't even see the woman that's accusing me. How do I know whether I've ever met her or touched her inappropriately?
Right. But let me see if I can feel her, and then I'll be able to recognize her.
Oh, come on.
What I would say in the courtroom.
That's not going to make things better for you, Bill.
Oh, yes, I recognize these.
Okay, but you're already creepy. Don't do that.
I have to make breakfast because I am starving to death. Just excuse me. Okay. I can't see the dishes. That is a problem.
Right.
I have to get the phone off the phone.
Okay.
Try to call someone.
You're on the phone with us.
But I need someone to come here and help me get out of the building. Where's that glass door?
Oh, no, you have a glass door?
Just be careful.
Not any longer, I don't. I think I would go over here and get this thing that... That is a problem. Oh. That is... I dropped the pot.
Sounds like more than one. What is that? Bill? What is that? You all right? Is that explosion? Fireworks? What is that?
I dropped all my Quaaludes.
Thanks a lot for tuning in today. It is the 1st of November, and I think you know what that means.
Two things. One is Merry Christmas, everybody. And two is today's the day that we start seeing all of the apologies for offensive Halloween costumes that people wore last night that they didn't realize were going to upset people.
Right. It already started because there were parties over the weekend, so people already went on the apology tour.
Now, what is the rule? Ralph, you're the voice of reason on topics like this.
Kevin and I have had
missteps in the past with our own Halloween costumes.
Well, so, said you've both worn blackface.
That's just not true.
Your Halloween costume.
That's a lie, sir.
Yes, okay. It's not a lie.
That is a lie.
It is true.
In my defense, I didn't look enough like Kanye West without the blackface.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so...
That's your defense. Okay, no, strong.
That was your defense?
Yeah.
What's the rule on Halloween costumes? How do you know whether your Halloween costume is offensive? Because the whole point for a lot of people when they start thinking about what they're going to wear is, I want something that's going to be funny. And
right.
Sometimes you dress up as a funny thing and
look,
some people don't
line.
See it as funny.
It's a fine line because, you know, as a lot of stand-up comedians would say, as long as it's funny, it's fair game. It doesn't matter if people are offended or not. Funny is job one.
But 2016, we're so much more politically correct.
Yeah,
it's sort of annoying.
It's a matter of, do you care whether other people are going to be bothered or not by your costume, you know? And I think if you're a decent person and you want to err on the side of, yeah, I don't want to upset anyone. I don't want to offend anyone, especially when it comes to race or sex, gender, you know, sexual orientation, those sort of things. There's a
you
lot
just took
of
out all of the good Halloween costumes.
No, there's a ton of costumes you can wear that don't have anything to do with any of those.
But not everyone wants to be Batman every year.
Well, you don't have to be just Batman. You could be 11. You could be any number
that's
of
stupid.
Things.
That's anybody that would be 11 was stupid.
Chip's at 11.
Chip was 11.
What?
She was an awesome.
Right, that's
costume.
What I meant.
She was
for example,
awesome.
Right, we've got Hillary Duff and her boyfriend, Jason Walsh.
Yes.
And they were at a Halloween party last week, and they went as she went as a sexy pilgrim. Ugh, by the way, anything with the sexy fill in the blank, just let that go, right?
No, I'm good with it. Back to you.
But if you want it to be sexy, then just be a sexy something. But don't try to make something that's not sexy and make it sexy, like sexy Donald Trump and sexy pilgrim. There's no sexy pilgrims.
Well, I mean, accurate. That's accurate.
Right.
But this is also Halloween. So
she was the sexy pilgrim, and he was a Native American in full feathered headdress and buckskins and war paint. And look, that's offensive to a whole race of people. Because you are co-signing onto their heritage and their identity, and you're making light of it with your silly Halloween costume.
I agree with that. I agree with that. And that's why
I feel like that's taken more seriously than it should be.
By whom, Kevin? It's not for you to say, really, because... White man, because you came and you stole our land and you killed our buffalo.
I am half American Indian.
And you gave us smallpox.
Here's the thing.
If a Native American's saying, hey, that really bugs us, then I think we have to take them at their word.
If you can take off the costume and go about your day and have every right afforded to you, then that's a costume. If you're dressing as a white man in blackface, you can take that off and you're still a white dude.
Right.
Same with a Native American. You can put all that on, but you take it off, you're still that white guy.
This is why I can't believe that the Cleveland Indians is still a thing, by the way. I cannot believe that that exists in 2016.
A lot of people say that about the Washington Redskins, too.
Washington Redskins, same thing, because there's no way in a million years you could start a new sports franchise. Las Vegas gets a football team, and they decide they're going to be the Las Vegas Asians, and that would fly. You know, it's insane that exists.
Look, I think that's a separate conversation, because those are long-standing team names, and they've been around forever. This is a one-night decision you're making to go out in public as this thing. And Jason Walsh released this, of course, the apology afterwards, which he says, I meant no disrespect. I only have admiration for the indigenous people of America. In hindsight, I would not have made that decision. I apologize to anyone I may have offended.
But if you have nothing but admiration and respect for the indigenous peoples of America, do you really make that choice to put that costume on?
I don't think you do
either. That's one of those, I'm not – sorry I got caught, but not really sorry. Sorry,
we're going to take your phone calls, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067 about offensive Halloween costumes that you either saw over the Halloween weekend or through last night or that you were. Let me run a couple by you real quick, Ralph, and let me get your take on these. These are both in the news today. Right. One is a Japanese girl band has drawn backlash for wearing Nazi uniforms.
Yes!
As their Halloween costume.
Big mistake.
The band is called Keiakiza Zaka 46, and it's a popular teenage all-girl band in Japan who performed last night in an outfit that was a Nazi-era German military uniform. So you're saying just in general, no Nazis.
That is a good rule of thumb.
No Nazis, yes. Okay? Thing two, here is an article from Jezebel this morning. Here's a guy who went to a Halloween party in Charleston, South Carolina. He dressed up as a prescription bottle of Rohypnol. He went as a date rape drug. That was his costume. Yay or nay on that?
I think it's tacky, but I don't think it's really offensive.
Not offensive. A lot of people thought.
See, it's weird because that one strikes me as offensive.
But it's because
it's the date rape drug. That's what it is.
You're right. That's tacky, but it's an inanimate object. He's not going as a rape victim or something. He's going as something he thought obviously would be funny, but he's going as a pill bottle. I don't think that's necessarily offensive.
And ladies, let's steer clear of that guy.
Right. He's not getting laid anyway, so he's getting what he deserves.
He's just putting out the advertisement
at the end of the night. I think
he'll be alone.
So offensive Rohypnol, no, in your
I don't think so.
Estimation. Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like it's odd that we take that we extrapolate things that are not meant necessarily to be a serious statement on a night where you're just being goofy and trying to be sometimes offensive is funny and you're just trying to have a good time and you're not really trying to make a statement about the plight of a people or something like that. You know what I mean? Like sometimes we take it too seriously. It's just it's a night that's just disconnected from reality and you just go have fun and it's a party and you're not really making a statement that the American Indian was, you know, destroyed by the pilgrims. You know what I'm saying? It seems like taking that seriously is
I don't think anyone is accusing them of making a statement about the Native Americans. I think that what they're accusing them of is a lack of awareness and a lack of respect is what they're accusing them of.
Yeah.
If it's a goofy night and you're just going to be anything, then pick something that's not going to cheese off 10% of the population.
Let's take one call before the break, you guys, and make it Jessica San Pedro, line one. Let's get a ruling on this costume. Hey, Jessica, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. You saw this costume last night?
No, it was not last night. It was actually a couple weeks ago.
Go ahead.
Before any allegations or information. My cousin had posted all over his Instagram that he was Jose Fernandez.
The Florida Marlins pitcher who got killed in that boat accident.
Yes. Oh. So he took the time to buy the entire outfit, the jersey, and he colored his eyes black, of course, and had sea creatures and seaweed all over him.
Why did he do that weeks ago?
How early do you celebrate Halloween in your house?
It's an odd choice.
You're up. In the middle of October, you know, on the first couple weekends. So, yeah, he did it a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
All right. What's the ruling on that? I mean, it's in bad taste, but
real bad
allowable?
Taste.
I mean, I get you're a hardcore Dodgers fan, but I know that's somebody's kid, and, I mean, this was before any of the cocaine allegations.
To celebrate someone's death, I think, is really bad form.
Yeah, a very tragic death.
Right.
And he was 24 years old, too.
Yeah, there's no upside to that. I don't see the humor in that particularly.
Yeah.
It's like how I feel about Kim Kardashian. I am no fan, really not a big fan at all.
Right.
But people who went dressed as her, as a victim of the Parisian robbery, where she was zip tied and blindfolded and stuff like that, I say that's out of bounds.
That's celebrating a crime.
Yeah, celebrating someone's pain is kind of off limits for me.
Yeah, just basic
dumb.
Human decency, you know?
All right,
go
Jessica,
as Gumby,
good call,
goddammit.
Go as Gumby.
Good choice, Allie.
Thank you.
Go as the white-hot Gumby costume this year, why don't you?
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Whatever.
Didn't have your mind on, sorry.
Yeah, no surprise there.
It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:38.
We are talking about offensive Halloween costumes. That's kind of an annual tradition on November 1st is what did you see that you thought was in very poor taste last night? I got a tweet from a Kevin Bean listener named Will Ralph who wants your opinion on where do you stand on people who dress up as members of the U.S. military, sailors, Marines, whatnot. Is that disrespectful to those who actually wear the uniform or is it okay because it's just you being an occupation?
I don't think anyone's mocking them by wearing that. I think it's almost wish fulfillment. It's like me dressing up as Batman or something. It's like I wish I was that hero.
I wish I was a hero.
Yeah, I wish I was really as cool as that. As long as they're not disrespecting the uniform or our military, you know, you're not a dead soldier or something, you know.
Right, right.
I think as long if you're just putting on the uniform, I think that's okay.
All right. Let's go to Evan, line one, Long Beach, please, up first at 1-800-520-1067. If you went as something others found offensive or you just saw something offensive, we want to talk about it on the Kevin Bean Show this morning. Hi, Evan. Thank you for calling. Thank you for holding on. What's going on?
Hey, guys. Good morning. I was in New York over the weekend with my wife, and we were walking down the street, and we see three guys dressed as terrorists. So they had the full robe on. They had the head wrap, and they had suitcases handcuffed to their wrists. Walking down the streets of New York, everybody was looking at him.
I'm surprised they didn't get tackled to the ground with people there, honestly.
I
know it's been a lot of years since 9/11, but that still feels too soon in New York City to me.
Well, screw 9/11. I mean, we're living in the terrorist age right now.
Yeah.
There's real, genuine threats out there. And I think not only is that incredibly offensive, but also incredibly stupid and dangerous, really. Yeah, they should have been arrested.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the call.
Maybe put down.
Why didn't they just go as Gumby?
Why didn't they go as Gumby?
Oh, Gumby.
Let's try. Wow, let me see. We got some good ones here. Let's go to. We've got Todd in Anaheim. He's got a blackface sighting. You guys want that?
All right. Todd, hi.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good,
hey,
thank
Todd.
You. Halloween costumes that are offensive.
My buddy dressed up as Michael Jordan, and he's the whitest guy ever, whiter than Larry Bird, and he painted his face brown, and I called him Air Jolson, and I said, dude, I don't think that's cool for you to do, and I'm white, and I was offended by it.
Air Jolson is genius, Todd, by the way. About 8 people will get it, but I think it's freaking genius.
Right?
And by the way, there's nobody whiter than Larry Bird.
No, that's true.
I mean, that's really, he's as white as they
Kevin.
Get.
You met you?
You have a mirror, Kevin?
So what was his response there? You tried to talk him out of it. You said you thought it was too far. Why did he? Why was he defending it?
I don't know. He's a fan of Michael Jordan. He has his jersey. He has the old Bulls shorts. He wore them. He had the high tops.
Right.
He thought it was okay to do, but yet, as the night progressed, people were on board with it. I guess I'm the overly sensitive a-hole. But everyone else was on board with it, like, oh, you should put teardrops. You could have been the meme of Michael Jordan crying.
Oh, I could have been Michael Jordan crying.
Yeah.
Love it.
I saw the oversensitive a-holes at the Troop last night. They were really good.
Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that.
Let me just bring up a question. Are we too picky, though? Are we too easily offended? Are we waiting for the opportunity to jump out there and go, hey, that's offensive?
I think there are things that are justifiably offensive. And for people that go the full other side, like, we're too PC now, those people want to be able to be sexist, homophobic, racist, and have it not be a problem.
Yeah, they want to be able to do whatever they want.
But isn't it possible?
No repercussions. But there are repercussions to your behavior.
But isn't it possible that we're too PC now?
Who's we, though, Kevin?
People who are so easily offended by everything that
happens. But if African Americans say, hey, you know what, don't put brown face on your face and pretend to be a black man, that's offensive to me.
Is that being PC?
Because there's a history of racism associated with that behavior for generations. And that behavior is deeply offensive to me. But you're thinking those people should just let it go, Kev? They should just be okay with
it? No, but here's what I was saying during the break is that you were saying that guy went dressed as Rohypnol, a bottle of Rohypnol.
Right.
Okay. So my wife and I run a charity for abused women and children. And so that hits home for me, and that is offensive to me. However, I don't think I would say anything. I don't think I would go up to the person and
That's
call
your prerogative.
Them. I don't think I would
You
protest.
Can say something or not say something. That's your prerogative. But I don't think you should tell people who are protesting or who are offended, hey, pipe down.
But you don't think there are people that are too easily offended?
Sometimes, sure. Sure.
Okay. Let's try.
I haven't heard anything yet that I wouldn't be offended by. I think blackface
but
is
you
offensive.
May not have said anything.
I think blackface is offensive across the board. I think that is always a bad decision for a white person to put black makeup on their face and pretend to be an African American.
Yeah, appropriating anyone's culture, I just say across the board, don't do it.
So but just, I wouldn't start something with the guy. I would use this opportunity to say I think it's out of bounds.
So Gumby?
Always Gumby, right?
Okay.
That's what we're saying.
Let's try Tommy, who's calling us from Rancho Cucamonga. Hi, Tommy.
Good morning. What's happening?
What do you got, Tommy?
Dr. Victor Franken Hitler.
Dr. Victor Franken Hitler.
So you got a combo costume.
And another monster, Franken Hitler.
Why are you yelling?
Very terrible.
Was this your costume?
That's right.
So you were the Frankenstein monster, but also had like a Hitler mustache?
Exactly.
And how did that go over?
Well, I thought it was great. I'm German. I was representing. I thought it was awesome.
Oh, you're German, though, so that's a pass. I mean...
right. I mean, but probably a lot of Jews would give you a pass because you're German.
You're fine.
Okay.
You're good. You're good. Oh, you're getting a call. Gotta go,
okay.
Tom.
We'll let you go. Bye-bye.
What's happening?
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 751.
He is the author of a new book called Thanks for the Money, How to Use My Life Story to Become the Best Joel McHale You Can Be. Yes, we're talking about actor Joel McHale, who joins us in studio coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday. Good morning, Ralph.
Sorry to run in late. I was talking to Mr. McHale in the other room.
Ah.
He's just dreamy.
Isn't he?
Isn't he just dreamy?
He sure is.
All right, let's talk about show business. Talk about how things can quick change in a flash, if you will.
Uh-oh.
The movie Flash, the DC Comics large big screen version of that speedster superhero, has hit another speed bump, if you will. They just lost their director.
Oh.
Yeah.
That seems like a big deal.
Rick Famuyiwa. Famuyiwa.
Rick
is no longer
director. Rick
is no longer associated with the project. They're getting problems over there with DC and Warner Brothers getting these movies off the ground. Something similar happened with the Wonder Woman movie. The original director, Michelle McLaren, left, and she was quickly replaced by Patty Jenkins, who I've heard, by the way, is crushing it, and it's a great film. But this was one of those creative differences things.
Hmm.
Where this guy was on board, he was developing the project, they were getting ready to shoot, and he walked. And I always think, whatever the statements may be, that's got to be some serious screaming and yelling for you to walk away from a gig, especially as big as this. As a film director, you want to direct one of these blockbuster superhero movies,
too,
right?
Yeah.
So he said, I was excited about the opportunity to enter this amazing world of characters that I loved growing up and still do to this day. I pitched a version of the film in line with my voice, humor, and heart. While it's disappointing we couldn't come together creatively on the project, I remain grateful for the opportunity, he said in a statement. So that sounds like he wanted to do one kind of film, and DC said, make them really sad and dark, and have one of them named Martha. Have a mom named Martha. That's what I'm guessing happened at some point. So no word yet on who would take over, but look, if they, you know, I'm available. I can take some time off.
Are you
this,
a director?
Well, you know.
Have you directed?
Yes.
What have you directed?
The hot dogs? Right over there. Look, I would direct people to get food.
I'm not sure that qualifies you.
There's a parking spot over there. I direct people to open parking spaces.
So you just point a lot on the movie
That's
set.
All you do. I've seen directors. That's what they do. They go, shoot that over there. Put the camera there and point it in that direction.
Do that thing.
How hard can it be, really? Anyone?
You'd probably take a fraction of the money that he was getting, too.
I would
assume.
Do it for a song.
Right.
They would save so much money.
Right.
Really. It wouldn't be in focus or anything, but at the end of the day,
wouldn't have cost him
fix
much.
That in post, right? Isn't
sure.
that what you got the CG guys for? Billy Bush. Still in trouble for that video from years ago.
I kind of forgotten about him.
Yeah, remember him from Access Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
He was Donald Trump's pimp. Good. give the Donald a hug.
Ugh, yeah, that was so weird.
Still creepy.
And one for Bushy, too.
He may have lost more than just his sweet gig on the Today Show due to that locker room talk. According to the New York Post, he is in danger of losing his wife as well.
Oh, no.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. His wife, Sydney Davis, apparently is still furious about the situation, particularly because he insisted that the woman hugged him and the Donald after that conversation. Sources saying she believes his behavior was downright creepy. He's got daughters, too.
Yeah. Oh.
Billy hasn't been seen with his family since the scandal broke. So that gives also fuel to the potential breakup in that marriage. But see, Trump is creating jobs for divorce attorneys. He was right. He can actually get people working again. So,
Allie, if you're married to Billy Bush and this tape from 11 years ago comes out, can he get past that with you, or is that a deal breaker?
There would be some serious conversations. But I'm thinking, let's be honest, Billy Bush is a little creepy, period.
Yeah, right. I would assume there's other things.
Allie, you married him.
There are other things.
I did marry him, but...
So you must have seen something.
I would assume there are other things along the way that probably made
this easy. That video alone wouldn't... You could get through that.
That's not a deal breaker?
No.
Yeah.
I just want to get married someday to anybody. Someone. Anyway.
Look, if Billy's single,
right?
Billy, if you're out there and you're single, give Allie a call, because I think you got a shot, because she's getting desperate. And speaking of desperate, do you remember Escape Plan? The movie with Sylvester Stallone and Arnold Schwarzenegger?
I do not.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
Wait, what?
Why did they just announce the sequel?
I have never heard of that.
Is that where they go into a prison that you can't get out of?
Stallone plays a security expert.
Yes.
This is one of those jobs that only exists in movies. He's a security expert that shows penitentiaries the weaknesses in their security by going into prison and then breaking out of that prison.
Yes.
Yeah. You can't do it in like on a spreadsheet or like a PowerPoint presentation. You can't have a meeting. You have to go in there and then break out of the prison to show people where they have lax security.
Right.
But he is. But they double cross him and they put him in prison and they're going to keep him there. They can't get out of because he's been set up. And Arnold Schwarzenegger plays an inmate who teams up with him and helps him get out.
Oh, yeah. And it's behind the painting thing. They've dug a big tunnel.
No, that's the Shawshank Redemption.
Yes.
It's a very different film. It's like 30 years ago, Gumby.
Now, did you say they're announcing a sequel?
They just announced the sequel to the 2013 film Escape Plan, and Sylvester Stallone will be back.
All right, here's your answer. Here's the we're trying to figure out why. Worldwide, $137 million.
There you go.
Wow.
There you go.
Only $25 million domestic, the rest overseas. So they still love their Stallone and their Schwarzenegger.
See? Shows you what we know.
Right?
I just read a fascinating article, Ralph, and we probably don't have time to get into this.
We were talking
yesterday about how Inferno looks like a big fat stiff. That movie has already made well more than its budget back overseas. It's a huge hit overseas.
Now, that surprises me, because usually it's just these action-type films that translate well in other countries and other languages.
This is mostly action.
Inferno is?
Yeah. It mostly is.
But you don't think of Tom Hanks as an action star. He's not a Tom Cruise or a Stallone or a
No, but he's running from all governments. It's a lot of running.
Oh, it's good.
Yeah. From disease?
So the article I read was talking about how increasingly these movies are being made for the overseas market. They're not even making them with an eye on America, because it's becoming a smaller and smaller portion.
I don't even care about America anymore, you know? I was making movies, you know, for Japan and the Japanese.
That's the same.
And also the Greco-Romans, you know, and also all the Britannia people. So I don't even need American anymore, right? So I don't care if you come. I don't care if you go in my movie, right? I don't need your stinking money. Because I'm very popular in Crete.
Apparently so. Escape Plan 2, here we come.
There we go. Kevin saw Escape Plan 2.
I did. Did you really?
Yeah, I saw that.
I like action movies. Back to you.
You're shameless. Today's celebrity birthdays. All these people born on today, November 1st. Larry Flint is 74 years old today. Fernando Valenzuela, Dodgers legend, is 56. Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 54. Jenny McCarthy, actress, radio host, Playboy Playmate, 44 years old today. Toni Collette is 44 as well. She's a lovely and talented actress. Remember that Muriel's Wedding?
Yes.
That's the first time I ever saw Toni Collette. First time I was ever exposed to her work. Boy, was she terrific in that movie. We've never seen it. It's a little Australian comedy. And just a great, great film. Check it out.
I was seeing Escape Plan.
Yeah, you were busy seeing Escape Plan instead of Muriel's Wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And Penn Badgley celebrates 30 years today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Joel McHale.
Wake up. You need to make money.
How are
I'm the
you?
Only one applauding, but we're very excited
Pete's
to see you,
doing
sir.
The fast.
Yay!
How are you, Joel?
It's so nice to not see you again.
It's nice to not be seen.
In another city that you're in now.
It's... Joel is in wearing his University of Washington Huskies cap.
Yes.
By the way, the undefeated Huskies, number 4 in the country right now. You must be loving this. You never stop following your college team when you play for that school, right?
Well, when you play as poorly as I did, that is definitely the case.
What position were you?
I don't know.
Tight end?
Tight
you don't
end.
Know?
Yeah, I was tight end. But I was on the scout offense, so I was all you did was run the plays of the team you're going to play that week.
Oh, I
against
see.
The number 1 defense on your team.
I see.
So you were I was cannon fodder.
Okay.
I would just run away. If they tackled me, I was like, that was great. You were so great. You look good. You broke my knee. Yeah.
I give you a lot of credit, though, for fessing up in the book. And we'll talk about Joel's new book that's available right now. You actually put in a trading card, essentially, of you. Number 84 tight end, University of Washington Huskies. Official stats, reception 0.
Yep.
Yards gained 0.
Yep.
Average yards per game 0.
Wow.
That was the average.
That was average. So, but what was the high?
It was 0.
Okay. Okay. But what was the lowest?
The lowest I went was 0.
Okay.
So it was right there.
That was the average.
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Technically.
You, however, went to the Rose Bowl with your team.
I did.
And won the Rose Bowl and got a college football national championship
ring. We lost
ring.
The Rose Bowl. And
what?
That is incorrect on Wikipedia.
Oh. I thought you won the Rose Bowl.
No, I was there the year later when we won Pac-10. It was Pac-10 then. And we lost to Michigan. So we won Pac-10, but we definitely didn't lose.
Did you play all 4 years?
No, two years.
2 years, okay. I learned from the book that you had participated in a much whiter sport at first at University of Washington,
yes,
right?
That would
you
be
in,
rowing.
In row.
Yeah. Rowing? Yeah. I guess I could have played, I don't know, lacrosse or something, but it hadn't come along yet. Rowing was as white as it gets.
Plus, it's got to blow.
There's no one likes, it used to be the sport of people who would wear white suits and drink cocktails on the shore and have blankets and that's all gone.
It just sounds terrible.
And they were really, yeah.
It was in every way.
Yeah. And if you saw in the book or you read in the book that since no one, if you have a sport that no one likes or cares about,
right.
Then you have to make up ways to feel significant.
I see.
By hazing everyone, all the incoming people.
Okay.
And I talk about the hair pillows because they made the freshmen shave their eyebrows and all their hair off, and then they put all that hair, they combined it into a pillow, hair pillow, which then went into a display case of hair pillows, which eventually now I'm sure they're to a whole hair sectional.
Hair pillow.
I know. It does get real Nazi-y. It does seem very strange.
There's a lot wrong with dudes.
Yeah.
It gets like Hannibal Lecter.
The women's rowing team is not doing this.
Does the women's rowing team have a hair pillow?
No, not that I knew of.
Because they're women and they're better.
Then I got into a fist fight with the varsity and that didn't help. Morale.
Why did you get into a fight over?
Because, again, they have all these rules. I don't know if they have them anymore because it was, I think, criminal. If you didn't push a chair in properly, you would get hit and thrown into the lake. So this one guy and I, his name is Jason Ryan. He's a lawyer for Microsoft now. And we fought back.
Not that you still stalk him on Facebook or anything.
You
fought back. You and he fought back.
Yeah, we fought back.
Okay.
Yeah. And
did you land some punches?
Well, when you're surrounded by 11, it's hard to.
Did you land one?
I
was your average zero.
Oh no, I wasn't gonna fight back. You're not gonna win.
You said you fought back. You just said that. Sentence.
Well, I fought back in the sense of because they would just smack you and go, "We're get in the lake now," and then we're like, "No, we're not gonna do that."
That's not. That's not fighting.
It's not technically. It was mixed martial arts, but we didn't want to die. So that's when I joined the football team.
Okay.
The book
referencing, by the way, is new from author Joel McHale called Thanks for the
Author.
Money, How to Use My Life Story to Become the Best Joel McHale You Can Be. And I got the impression with a lot of disclaimers at the front of the book that when they came to you and said, hey, write a book, you were like, no way. Like, why would I write a book? You kind of had to be talked into this.
Well, I think that most celebrities' lives are not that interesting. And I think it's pretty irresponsible for celebrities to start giving advice.
Right. That seems to happen all the time.
And it's for a profession where we put on makeup and pretend to be other people, I don't think we should be able to tell you what to do.
Right.
So that all being said, I also don't think – so the lives – if you're that guy from that book Unbroken, you have an interesting life. And
right.
Your story definitely should be
tell
told.
Tell that story.
Yeah, you've deserved it.
Right? But
if you're Joel McHale –
But if you – but for – yes. Yeah, so I'm good for about a half a memoir, maybe. And
did you tell him, let's wait – 20 years.
Wait, I was going to just get into we'll a couple of high-speed chases just to mix it up. And so we decided that it would be – and then there's so many self-help books out there that we thought it would be. Use this story that you just read and to – it's all like recess. It's all hopefully happy, funny jokes that you're reading. But so, yeah, you can – yeah, it's a self-help. We'll teach you how to become a celebrity and get free stuff.
Did you write it by yourself, Joel?
No. I mean, yes, but I have these two guys, they're named Boyd Vico and Brad Stevens, who wrote the White House Correspondents' Dinner with me and wrote, they are writers and producers on The Great Indoors on CBS after The Big Bang Theory, 8:30 on Thursdays.
Well done.
And so
that was
they,
smooth.
Because I am as dyslexic and ADHD as it gets, I need people standing behind me with cattle prods going.
Can we see the original thing that you type?
Oh, it's so...
I know.
It looks like...
I'd like to see that.
Yeah, it looks like I was put in prison when I was six. And these are the scribblings of a madman.
I'd like to see that published.
They help me, you know, like as I was like, I want to do this, and then I'll start writing, and then they're like, yeah, we don't even know what word that is.
Well, you make jokes about it, but I want to talk about the dyslexia for a minute because
yes.
There are a lot of people. It's a very common disability that people have. It would have been easy for
most people
you,
in radio,
for instance. It would have been easy for you to give up on show business, to not believe that you could be an actor because you were dyslexic. As you mentioned, you know, how hard it was for you, especially in the early years of doing The Soup,
yeah.
to be able to not read a teleprompter. I mean, how did
you... Well, it's fun. I think I went into entertainment partially because of the dyslexia, because going to regular school was such a joke for me. I was so bad at it. And I literally was told I was a slow starter by, like, this evaluator. Like, he's a slow starter, whatever that means scientifically.
I think that's a nice way of
right.
calling
he's like
you dumb.
A big jumbo jet about to fly all the way to Europe. It just once he gets it off that that runway, woo, look
We're
at him go.
We're going to extend the runway, though, for this one.
Definitely.
So how did you find the stick-to-itiveness? The discipline to get past that and succeed in show
well,
business,
it takes,
where you have to do a lot of reading.
You don't ever get past it, but you get better at it. You do learn to – eventually I did learn how to read teleprompter because of the first episodes of The Soup, it took me 4 hours to get through 22 minutes of jokes. So
that's
that was
still my
real
life.
Fun. Oh,
yeah.
See, there you go.
That's
it's real fun
life.
For the other people on the crew and the writers as I just blew joke after joke. Eventually you do get around it. And for me, fear and adrenaline really helped. For being able to read kind of in front of people. And once I had done it a million times, then it got a lot better. But but as far as memorization goes for roles, yeah. that's a completely separate part of your brain. So reading,
you're okay with that.
Dyslexia
so
doesn't
that,
even figure into
it,
that.
It doesn't figure in at all. So that, in fact, I think it helps me remember better because I read slower. So in a weird way, I think it's beneficial.
Do you have in stores for the book coming up in L.A., or have we missed them?
Tonight.
Oh,
at the
tell
Grove.
Me more.
Tonight at the Grove.
Tonight at the Grove at Banana Republic. No, at Barnes & Noble.
What time?
I'm going to be – actually, I'll be middle of that wonderful dancing fountain they have.
Oh, that's going to be sweet.
I can't wait. For it. I wonder what it's going to play tonight. It's at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock. Joel McHale will be there signing copies of his new book called Thanks for the Money.
Bean
dot,
will
dot.
Definitely not be there.
I can't Correct. Make it. I'm sorry. But we're going to take a quick break, come back more with our guests. We'll talk about, among other things, The Great Indoors,
yes.
which is on when, Joel?
Oh, 8:30 Thursdays after The Big Bang Theory on CBS.
We'll be right back on K-Rock.
Why do you think he threw it, though?
Okay, we don't need to talk about that particular Super Bowl. Come
what?
On. That's
we
just
were
piling on.
Listen. What is your team doing?
My team is terrible as well.
Okay.
That's
my team is not terrible.
Joel McHale is here on the Kevin and Bean Show at 106.7 KROQ. If you'd have asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have sworn that this man was out of show business. But I have been proven wrong because he has a new series.
How dare you?
Why does he say things like that?
The Great Indoors.
This is a guy who lives in New Orleans now. So
now I'm dead to you, Joel.
He ran from the law in Seattle.
He's running from the law.
Yeah,
I think.
The Great Indoors is a new series that premiered last Thursday night.
Yes,
at 8:30.
At 8:30 after The Big Bang Theory.
Yes, a small.
And you can
small
see it again this week, Joel.
Yes, you can.
I imagine
we're making 13 of them, and I know you're like, what happens next?
You had your pick of TV shows. I'm sure everybody wanted a piece of the Joel McHale, right?
Oh yeah,
I'm sure they wanted you on Agents of Shield. They wanted you on The Flash. They wanted you everywhere. Why did you choose
The
Great
Indoors? I signed up for The Shield Flash, which they were. We don't even make that. I was like, I don't care. That's what I'm doing. I read the script and went, well, this I. It seems, I don't know. It's one of those things where I'm like, this is, I believe this is funny, and it's a workplace comedy, and it, I don't know. It's the thing that I responded to. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, it was multicam, which I had never done, which I think would be really fun. I love performing in front of an audience. That's why this is so disappointing.
Right here this morning, you mean?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't blame you for that. I mean, that makes sense.
I'm so sorry you guys invited me here and I just insulted you horribly.
Well, I mean, we insulted you back, so it's all right.
True.
What's the draw of a multicam sitcom? Explain to me why that's more fun than doing a different sort of show.
Well, it's not necessarily it's more fun. It's a whole different form. It's the first kind of television, and I literally think The Honeymooners is one of the best shows of all time.
Right.
And so performing in front of an audience with it's like making a little play, and I find that endlessly fun. And then Stephen Fry, the great Stephen Fry, decided to sign on, and which he has no reason to.
How'd that happen?
He's very rich and very accomplished. And he literally said, I thought it would be fun. So I was like, great. We've tricked him. And then the cat. It came together well. And so I think it's everyone says it's an attack on millennials. Which it's not. It's three generations all ridiculing each other.
It is you walking into the workplace and hating everyone, though.
From my character's perspective, right. He had never been there.
Right.
And it would be like you walking into an insurance office.
Oh, God.
Right. Yeah, but they don't allow cargo shorts across the threshold anyway.
That's all right. So that works in my favor.
Yeah, both of you. So, yes. But, yes, I am in. But if you think about it, everyone's insulting me right back.
Yeah, correct.
But as long That's as people true. Are talking about it and think it is the assault on millennials, great. please tune in out of anger, and then you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Hate watching goes a long way, doesn't it?
It really does.
Yeah, I agree.
So your character, Jack, is an adventure reporter for an outdoor magazine.
Yeah.
And then he basically gets an office job.
It turns into a website.
Essentially. Like, turns into a website.
Yeah. I mean, do you guys know anything about businesses disappearing?
No.
All right.
Is that happening?
Was that a radio gig, Joel?
It was
is that
radio
what just
app.
Happened?
He's
what
the
is
meanest.
Wrong with what is You're why? Right. Why would I? Why would you ever invite me back? What a jerk!
We have often asked that question. That.
I hope people on Twitter really let me have it for that.
I have a clip from the show, and this does feature the aforementioned Stephen Fry, who is a British comedy genius. And I assume, by the way, that every day you're just going in and beg him to tell you stories about his amazing life, right?
He has the best stories.
He's
of
got
all
to.
Time.
He knows everybody.
He knows everybody, and whatever story you think you have, his is better.
Right. Did you bring him your book? Did you go, hey, you want to read this?
Absolutely.
Here are some good stories.
Yeah. Here's Jack going into the office. He's just about to get the bad news that the magazine is folding and it's going to be website only. And you'll see some of the witty repartee between Joel McHale and the great Stephen Fry.
Yep. Roland. Jack. The bird, a nest. The spider, a web. Man, friendship.
It takes two to make a thing go right.
So there you go. There's the relative level of competence between those two men.
See? And a
Does
timely...
it say anything about me that once reference. You said it takes two that that's where I assumed it would go?
What,
Does that say something about me?
You knew where... Yeah.
I mean, I felt like that's the way it should have gone. It was pretty sweet.
Exactly. It appeals to your generation and the young generation.
Right. It appeals to everyone.
You're 71 years old,
that's
right?
That's correct.
So, yeah, it appeals...
72 next month.
70. Congratulations.
Yes, thank you.
So you'll see. If you, I guarantee if you tune in, you will.
I watched the first episode. Stomach muscles. Mintz-Plasse. He's great as well.
He is super funny.
He's old enough now that he has a beard, by the way. That was a surprise to me.
He's 26.
I think of him as being a little kid.
He is literally 26.
What's wrong with you, Bean?
He wasn't even a little kid in his first stuffy.
In my mind, he's still super bad.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that he is known for playing McLovin.
Right.
Anybody who knocks it out of the park when they're 16 and is still known for something is pretty, it's pretty remarkable.
Yeah.
Well, he's got a beard and he's an old man now.
Well, yes,
he's
now.
He's really an old man.
He's
not really.
He's approaching 30. He's on the other side of 25. But he is a joke assassin. He is really funny.
Yeah, he's good.
And a very nice guy. He doesn't have to be at all.
Does the audience for reals laugh, or do they add that in post, Joel?
If you went to a taping, mm-hmm. if you got on a plane and then changed planes, because I don't think there's a direct flight, you will see that there is actual people laughing. And you will see it. It's a weird thing when people are like, I can't believe all that fake laughter. I was like, come to the taping!
Okay.
I'll sound like Seinfeld. It's a weird thing how, you know, like with Cheers and Seinfeld and so many other shows, everyone was perfectly okay with it, and you're perfectly okay with when you go to a play or something or a concert, people are like, yes, I'm enjoying this.
Right.
And then you see it on TV, it's like, oh, fake. Must be. It's not.
Well, I think some shows abuse it. Some shows pump it up. I think
that would be
my guess.
Remember when MASH had it?
Yes.
This is going way back.
Yes.
But they added in a laugh track at one point.
I did not know that.
Which was a very bizarre...
they have an audience there?
Sitting in the desert?
I was just kidding, Bean.
Outside the tent? No, it didn't happen.
With the exception of they never allowed the laugh track in surgery, though. That was the only place where they said no laugh track.
Really?
That's for reals, yeah.
But
yeah,
that's the funniest
that
part.
That is a deep dive.
Right?
It really is.
There are young people right now that have broken their hands switching the dial.
And that's what we're best known for. Hey, Joel, before you go, let me hit the stuff.
I'm not leaving.
Thanks for the money. How to Use My Life Story to Become the Best Joel McHale You Can Be is very funny, and it's available wherever you get your books. You can get a copy signed tonight by Mr. McHale
at the Grove. Yes.
At the Barnes & Noble.
7 o'clock.
He's doing the plug.
He's doing it. Yeah, well, I just doubled. I don't know if people can hear him so far away.
Okay. Yes, you need to repeat.
And The Great Indoors airs Thursday nights at 8:30 on CBS after Big Bang Theory. You should definitely check it out. But my question for you is... at any point in the last year, have you missed doing the soup?
Well, now with everything that's happened, I go like, whoa, you guys were already talking about earlier, but when that whole Billy Bush thing went down, I said, the world, it's all coming together. There is a harmonic convergence of pop culture and politics, and it's just all, it doesn't seem like.
I'm not sure there's room for the soup anymore because that's the news.
That's
now.
CNN now.
Yeah,
it's true. We would just roll clips with no jokes. You go like, that happened.
Hey, how about that?
Coming up next, this clip with no jokes. Obviously I love doing it.
Yeah.
But when they moved it to Wednesday, it was hard to do a weekly wrap-up show. On a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday.
We should have changed. It's like hump day coming up, folks. The first 3 days of the week, we'll wrap it up for you.
That's the kind of comedy we're missing out by the soup being off the air.
Well, I'm going to bring it back today after at 10 o'clock.
Hey, do you watch
this station?
Do you watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., by the way?
I do not.
All right, then you have to get out because we have Ming-Na Wen on the show next. So we're going to have to say goodbye.
Super
to
hot.
She's the best.
She's here now.
Not aging at all. It's
concerning. But I don't watch any shows anymore. So.
You don't watch any TV?
No, I don't have time.
How about The Great Indoors? I hear that's excellent.
It is the greatest show in television history.
When can I see it?
Where can you see it? 8:30 Thursdays on CBS after the Big Bang Theory.
Awesome.
Right before Life in Pieces.
Thanks for coming in, Joel. Great to see you, my friend.
Thank you for having me. Congrats
on
staying on the air.
I'm having you.
Don't be creepy. Oh, are we on the air? I'm sorry.
Oh,
wow.
Bean.
Just want to be on the safe side here.
You're this way when you give yourself a pep talk?
You know how we feel about Ming-Na Wen.
Yes, we do.
And she's on the phone, and I'm always afraid that I'm going to be the one responsible for saying something so she'll never come on
because
again.
You're always the one to say that.
But I want to make sure that doesn't happen. Okay. So let's keep everything on the up and up here. Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. airs Tuesday nights at 10 on ABC. That means tonight a brand new episode. Please welcome back to the program the lovely Miss Wen. Hello, Ming-Na Wen.
Boys and girls and Mr. Creepy.
How dare you?
She knows.
How have you been? How are you? We've missed you.
I know. I'm sorry I can't be there with you guys this morning having fun, but, you know, I'm busy trying to save the world.
I understand. Are you at work right now? Are you getting ready to go do something amazing?
I am. I got my face on, my hair done, and I'm going to go to fitting, and then we shoot all day long like we did yesterday. I missed Halloween. I'm so sad.
You missed? You worked all Halloween day.
Yeah, I guess. I guess it's Halloween for me every day, don't you think?
Well, I guess so. You do get to play
dress up.
I did want to ask you one Halloween question because I saw the picture that you put on your Twitter feed of somebody who had carved your face into a pumpkin, and it was amazing.
I know. That's Alex Ware. He's the pumpkin geek, and he actually does the work on foam pumpkins, so you can keep it forever.
Oh, that's cool. Wasn't even a real pumpkin. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's really cool.
But I mean, strangely less impressive.
What?
I mean, a little bit less impressive.
Wow.
Right?
You took it
down. I'm just saying, because if you do it in a real pumpkin, it makes it more difficult.
Oh, I'm sure he could do it on a real pumpkin.
I'm sure he could, too. You know. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
All right. So Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's Tuesday, so that means you're on at 10 o'clock tonight. And tonight is, as I understand, potentially a very, very special episode, correct?
Yes, it's an episode that finally reveals the Ghost Rider. For those who have been following, we've been having the spectacular storyline with Gabriel Luna playing the Ghost Rider.
He's so good.
His origin, I know, isn't it?
He is so good at that character. Yeah.
Yeah, he's really method too. I mean, he puts his head on fire every episode.
Wow, that's crazy.
Amazing. I know, he's really, really talented. it's his origin story, the Ghost Rider's origin story. So, I'm going to turn off my heater right here.
Okay.
You can probably hear it. Sorry.
So it's
a little chilly this morning in my trailer.
Okay. So it's the story of Ghost Rider, which is great. And Clark Gregg, who, of course, is Agent Phil Coulson, is not in charge anymore of S.H.I.E.L.D. Is that correct?
No. Yes. The new director is director Jeffrey Mace. And he's kind of like the showman, really, more so than a real director, I think.
Right.
But I think he's got a few things up his sleeve, and the fact that he's also inhuman.
Sure. Except for was he lying?
Oh.
Right.
Oh. Well, I don't know.
Am I right?
Oh, wow. Can I tell you a funny story about this episode?
Sure.
There was a line that the writers wrote where I had to say what he did to the director. Sounds like a simple line, right?
Uh-huh.
Now try to say it fast.
What he did to the director.
Oh, you're good.
What he did to the director.
I don't know. What he did to the director. My Chinese Asian tongue.
You couldn't do it?
I couldn't say. I kept stumbling. I kept going, what he did to the director.
I just did that. Yeah. What he did to the director. It's the director.
Yeah.
Yes.
What he did to the and I kept like, and then you know how like when you focus on the problem too much,
sure.
It just gets worse. Yeah. I literally did eight to ten takes of trying to say that freaking line, and then of course we start cracking up and we start laughing.
That's you for about 2 minutes living my life. Yeah, that's pretty much Kevin every day, I'm sorry to say. All right, so I'm sorry, I interrupted your story. So you had to take it 8 or 9 times.
A writer of this episode, also directed by the great Billy Gerhart, my favorite director.
Okay.
Jeffrey Bell, our executive producer, came up and said, you know what, Maine, just say what he did to Maine.
Okay, good. They literally had to change the line for you.
On the spot, because it was just getting ridiculous. But now I'm just really curious tonight when it airs, which one they ended up with.
I hope they use one where you messed it up. I sort of do. I wanted to ask you about an episode earlier in this season where you were pretty much just confined to bed having seizures. And I thought to myself, what a weird shoot that must have been for you. How long did it take to shoot that episode? Because you were in bed pretty much the whole time.
Yeah, I mean, that only took me, I think we were maybe two or three days. Because, you know, we only have 8 days to shoot an episode, which is ridiculous. because every episode is like a movie. Mm-hmm. But I think I was in bed for about 2 days, and I was so bummed because I thought I was unconscious for most of it.
You were for a lot of it.
So, no.
How did
I had to twitch, and I had to, like convulse, and I had to, I had to do a lot of work.
She was seeing all kinds of wild dreams and visions and stuff. And
yeah,
so she had
thought it was going to be relaxing and she'd be unconscious.
I thought they were just going to put me out.
And I thought maybe you could do all of that in 2-3 or 4 hours. You were saying you were doing it for days.
Yeah, for a couple of days. Yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, it's a very involved show. You've got the special effects. You've got Mark Kopac doing all those crazy visual things when, you know, Simmons and Radcliffe were moving their hands around.
Right.
And then that takes a while.
Well, it is an involved show, and it's a great season so far. Ghost Rider, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. This is the fourth season of the show. It's on at 10 p.m. on ABC on Tuesdays. And Ming, as you know, you are one of our favorite people in the entire world.
I love you guys. I wish I could be there. And, you know, I just have to say I have special skills in convulsing in bed.
Oh. Okay.
That is noted.
Let's leave it on that note.
Yes. Daddy Likey.
What? 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Tuesday morning. What's going on, Ralph?
Oh, I'm on the wrong mic.
Hey, that wasn't me. That was not me.
Someone took my mic and put it away, and that was you had potted up the correct mic, but the mic
was that bastard Joel McHale, I think.
It was Joel McHale.
It's been nothing but a problem.
Our producer comes in, and he jerks around with the microphones when we have guests.
Yeah, he does.
For some reason, doesn't like anyone to use this microphone, and I think this is the best-sounding microphone of all the microphones.
Does he want them to sound bad?
Maybe. He's
not my fault.
It is his fault.
I feel like it is your fault.
Did you see Taylor Swift's Halloween costume?
Now, why is that not a reasonable question to ask on November 1st? She's famous for doing it up on Halloween. I just thought you guys might enjoy
so
the story.
So Bean says, did you guys see that? And I say, shut up.
Right. And that is the proper response, by the way.
Then Bean goes on the air and talks about a giveaway or something and then comes back off the air and then proceeds to continue his story.
Right. Can't get away from it. Apparently she was Deadpool. Apparently that's what it was. She was Deadpool.
It's a reasonable
costume.
What does
the word shut up mean to you?
You fascinate me, tell me more.
Oh, okay. That's the only reasonable possible answer, because that's the way he responds to it every time.
Yeah, true.
On his planet, those words mean continue.
Please continue. We love your story.
Exactly. Well, speaking of celebrities and costumes, it was Trick or Treat night over there on Dancing with the Stars last night.
I'll bet that was crazy.
Oh, Kevin, they were wearing costumes.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's nuts. And Ryan Lochte was booted off the show last night. Sadly, he will not be going forward. The audience gave him a standing ovation.
Why?
He took his final bows. At least that's what he told people. We don't know. We don't know whether it's true or not. I didn't watch, so. Someone in the audience put a gun to his head, whatever. And they robbed him. And then he peed on everybody. So
I saw a little bit of Dancing with the Stars last night.
Why?
Of course you
don't
did.
Know why.
Why
don't
would
know
you?
Why.
What do you mean you don't know why? You're just flipping around?
No, I wasn't. My wife
was
had
ghost?
It on.
Did
I was in the kitchen making the dogs dinner, and it was on. And I saw the little person, I'm not familiar with who she is.
Tara Jolie is her name.
Man, does she have moves. Wow, can she dance.
Yeah.
It's very impressive. Very impressive.
She made it into the semis, along with Olympian Lori Hernandez, which I always think is just unfair when they have these gymnasts come in.
They do seem to have an advantage.
That's their job.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They dance and do flips and stuff and everything. Calvin Megatron Johnson.
The winner is often a someone from the world of sports, right, on this show?
Someone from the world of sports. Oh, so often,
an athlete.
Often is.
An yes. Often is an athlete, right?
Often is, yes. Yeah. Mary Lou Henner.
Okay.
Janet Kramer, country music singer Janet Kramer. And race car driver James Hinchcliffe are your remaining six semifinalists. So good luck to all of them. We're looking forward to seeing one of you hoist the coveted Mirror Ball trophy way above your head.
Are we looking forward to that?
I have no idea.
Okay.
everyone was looking forward to this Cruel Intentions TV series with Sarah Michelle Gellar. There was a lot of talk about it when it went into production. The only people apparently not looking forward to it was NBC.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Who has announced they are giving up on it and they will not be airing it.
Oh.
So now Variety reports the series is looking to find another home at another network or perhaps a streaming service, but everyone involved with the production of the series is eager to get it on the air. And if you were looking forward to seeing it, you're going to have to wait a little bit longer.
It is cool if there are other options, though. And if one place says no...
If you can't get a show on the air right now,
right.
You're just not trying hard enough, because there's a lot of people buying a lot of product out there. And there's no surprise to find that Walt Disney is doing yet another live-action version of an animated classic film. This time we're going to get a live-action musical version of Snow White, the grandmama of them all. This was the one that put Disney on the map. This was the first ever feature film
right?
length animated cartoon. 1937? Could it be that long ago?
Could
you have used to work for the mouse? Do you know what year? 39?
Mid-30s.
Anyway, they are doing a live-action version of that animated classic, and they've already announced a sequel.
What?
They're doing it, and they've got a sequel in the works as well. It'll be a spin-off based on Snow White's sister. Anyone know Snow White's sister from the fairy tale?
I don't. Chip?
Is it Betty?
Rose Red. Snow White and Rose Red.
I don't think I ever knew that.
Yeah, from the original fairy tale. You never read the actual the Snow White story?
From the 1800s?
Well, it's still published, Allie. There wasn't just that one copy.
No, there was that copy. It's very dusty.
You don't have to travel through time in order to read it.
To touch things that
you can buy it in a store right now and read it to your kids. It's very easy to do.
Is it the original?
Is it Rose Red?
Rose Red.
I'm going to take somebody out.
Is it in German?
Anyway, Snow White coming to a screen. No casting yet on what, who will play Snow White, however, but there's going to be a lot of little people, I bet. Brad Williams, very excited to that news.
Sitting by the phone.
Right, waiting for that dwarf call. Didn't they do with Snow White, like competing Snow White movies like 3 years ago? Kristen Stewart was one, right?
Wasn't Snow White?
They sure did.
Yeah.
And then Lily Collins, I believe, Phil Collins' daughter, also played Snow White in another film. So... No thanks. We've got plenty. Disney, we got plenty of Snow Whites. We're good. Today's celebrity birthday is Larry Flint, founder of Hustler. What? What are you laughing at?
Who the hell is Rose Red? I'm just...
Snow White's sister, I told you.
I'm seeing that now, but I had no idea.
Larry Flint is 74 years old today. Fernando Valenzuela, Dodgers legend, is 56. Anthony Kiedis. From the Red Hot Chili Peppers, turns 50. We should play some Chili Peppers to celebrate his birthday.
We don't play them much on our station.
Yeah, I know. But maybe we should get around to it. Let's dust off an old Chili Peppers download. Do you dust off a download?
I don't think so.
No. Jenny McCarthy's 44. Actress Toni Collette is also 44 years old today. Actor Penn Badgley celebrates his 30th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. We're going to take your phone calls next for Kevin and Bean's What's Good, 1-800-520-1067. You call now. Any topic that you want to talk about, anything that we're not addressing that you think we should be, this is your chance. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next.
1-800-520-1067. That is our phone number here at K-Rock. You can call us on any topic right now. It's a feature we call Kevin and Bean's What's Good. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up, so we could be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good? This time yesterday, we were talking about the movement that's going on all across Southern California of the Zero Club. Kevin started it. Kevin is the one who has mastered the art of waiting to buy gas until the last possible second. Your car can't go 10 more feet before you fill it up with gas.
I wasn't starting a movement as much as living in a dumb way.
Well, we have found out that most of our listeners are right there with you in the Zero Club. And Jose is on line 5 in Westminster, and he has a comment on the Zero Club.
Hey, Jose.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
Hey, I just wanted to point out that most cars have an average of 2 gallons of tank when that light comes on. However, I know that Toyota Highlanders, my wife had a 2007, they had 4 gallons of tank before the light came on, or right when the light came on.
Well, here's the thing about the light coming on. Like, in my car, and it's a newer model, it has, the light comes on, but it also tells you how many miles you have, so it comes on at 50.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So you have 50, and then it comes back on at 25.
Right. Most cars average, 50 miles per hour driving, you know, city and highway mileage.
Best case scenario,
That's why your gas will come on, your light will come on when you have a minimum of 2 gallons of tank, which gives you about 50 miles to whatever, depending on what car you have or model.
Right.
That seems like a lot. I'll tell you that.
Right, but the Zero Club is about letting it run right down to the very bottom.
Right, and I wanted to point out that by doing so, you decrease the lifespan of your fuel pump because most fuel pumps are now embedded in the gas tank, and the gas pulls them down so they don't overheat.
You lost me. So you're saying it's good?
That's his takeaway.
I'm hearing that it's good.
The gas tank is inside your gas, or the fuel pump, excuse me, the fuel pump is inside your gas tank.
Okay. Well, the phone's ringing. I got to go. I really apologize. But thank you,
Travis.
I think
let's
he was
Riverside.
Saying that it's good for your car.
That's what I heard as well. Riverside right. Line 1, this is going to be Adolfo who joins us next on the Kevin Bean Show. Adolfo, what's good, my friend?
Yeah, you know what's good? Well, I don't know if it's good or not, but recently I feel like holidays, we need to get through the holidays before we start advertising for the next one, you know. 2 days ago, I went to a local store and, you know, looking for, like, last-minute Halloween stuff. And they already had, like, Christmas stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Christmas stuff is up everywhere now.
Yeah. And they don't even wait. We didn't get through Halloween yet. You know, this
Christmas
they,
doesn't Halloween. Give a crap about Halloween.
Uh-uh.
Right.
No,
nope.
They don't. It,
yeah, Christmas is the big dog.
Yeah. You know, they could – I feel like each year it just – gets put out on sale earlier and earlier. Like, next you know, they're going to start selling freaking Christmas crap in, like, July.
It'll be year-round.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, Adolfo. You're not required to buy any of that stuff. They put it out there for people who want it. But if you don't, just keep on walking. Just ignore it.
True. Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. I have nothing against Christmas. You know,
why do you hate Jesus, Adolfo?
Why do you hate Jesus is our question to you.
Jesus was a good dude, man.
He died for your sins, Adolfo.
And this is how you repay him? Oh. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
Let's move on.
Is it weird that I judge you? If I go to your house for Thanksgiving and you are not decked out for Christmas yet, what is wrong with you,
really?
You slacker? Yes.
I like to wait until after Thanksgiving.
Ew.
But it doesn't bother me that people don't
so
like.
Much more joy when there's a tree.
All right.
Turkey.
Let's go to Matt Nazusa. He's line two. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right. I feel like we're in very dangerously close to having to use the timer for what's good. We haven't used that in a while, the 10-second timer, if people start getting dull. Matt?
Hey, guys. Hey, Allie. Smell it. I want to talk about the Halloween kids that drive in from other neighborhoods really quick.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Because I was ready to let it go this year and totally be cool with it, because if I'm not, then I'm just waking up in Trump's America.
Right. Okay.
But when you knock on my door at 8:49 p.m., and they don't come in twos and fours, they come in eights and twelves.
Right.
They all had on black sweaters, and then they turned out their sweater pockets talking about, I forgot my costume and my bag. Ha 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 ha. I wish I kept all the honey roasted peanuts from the flights I went on so I could.
Okay, that wasn't trick or treaters. That was a home invasion.
Yeah,
that's what was happening. Like, it's pretty ingenious, though. Right?
I don't know. I think I'm with Matt. I don't want to give those kids anything.
No,
I
do.
You do? So.
Yes, that's
really?
Awesome.
Really? Really?
Oh, forgot. That's their costume. That they forgot their costume and their bag.
And you don't show up at 10 minutes tonight.
No,
that's
no.
Well past
no,
the acceptable
absolutely.
Time for trick or treaters.
7:30 is the limit.
No, for reals though. Certainly by 8 o'clock the kids should be done. Because
really?
It's supposed to be for little kids.
Right.
It's not supposed to be for teenagers who are out, you know, joyriding.
But these are mid-20s that came in.
Them with all their ding dong ditchery.
All right. Thank you for the call. We have time for one more, Kevin. Let's make
not,
it a good one. Who
let's
you like?
Let's not do that.
Let's do one more.
Joyride.
All
let's
right. go to Nick. Let's try Nick in South Pasadena.
All
I'm
right.
feeling good about Nick's call.
Will I take one call?
Hi,
Nick.
One call too many.
Yeah. Hi.
So, I'll tell you what. Last night.
Thank you for calling.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:34.
Time for a final look at the showbiz beat now. Ralph Garman is here.
What's going on? What's new? What's happening? What's the latest?
I think I may have misplayed Halloween this year.
You misplayed it?
I misplayed it. I think maybe I made a misstep. I think maybe I made some bad choices.
What happened?
Well, at our house, Halloween's kind of a big deal.
Yeah.
So what we like to do is we have a day we set aside where my wife and my daughter and I, we get together and we decorate the place for Halloween, and we try to make it special on the outside so when people come to trick-or-treat, it's really fun.
Do you live in a neighborhood where you get a lot of trick-or-treaters
in our neighborhood?
That's cool.
And, in fact, the first trick-or-treater yesterday, very first person, my wife took Olivia, our daughter, out to trick-or-treat, and I stayed behind to give out candy. That was the how we broke up the rolls last night. And so I'm sitting there waiting for the first trick-or-treaters, because in our neighborhood there's a lot of tiny kids, like the babies and one-year-olds and stuff. They always go out super early.
Right.
Late like afternoon. Yeah, they start early because, you know, they got to get to bed and stuff. So I'm waiting. I'm set up, got the candy, we're good to go. Knock on the door. First knock on the door. Open it up. Jim Jeffries.
What?
Aww.
Yes. Jim Jeffries and his little one as Yoda. Adorable.
Couldn't comedian Jim Jeffries.
Yes.
That's is he odd. A stormtrooper?
And I barely recognized him because yeah. He was sober. And and we had a lovely chat, and it was just great. It was just a great way to kick things off. But as the day wore on and it got dark, that's when I kicked in, plugged everything in, and that's when we were up and running, really.
Now, what does that mean, up and running?
Well, the way my house is constructed is there's the front of the house, but that's not where the entrance is. It's to the side. There's sort of a walkway. You have to go to the side of the house, and that's where the main entrance is.
Okay.
And so there's a fence there, and in between the fence and the house is the walkway. And so I wanted to do up that walkway this year to make it really fun, make a little sort of like a mini haunted house kind of vibe as you walk to the door to make something fun for
sort of a maze of death.
Not a maze of death at all. It's just one straight shot. There's no maze.
All right.
And there's no death.
All right.
But I put out my spooky... creepy old man who's got a raven on his shoulder and it's got a motion sensor, so when it passes, you know, he starts talking to you and stuff. Big animatronic guy in the front. And had fire lights that make it look like flames, like your house is on fire. We had that projected on the front. And then along the walkway, there were human hands sticking out from the fence, looking like they were trying to grab you, and cobwebs and a giant skeleton at the end. It was uplit with red lights and stuff. It was really fun.
Can I go back to an earlier part of your story?
Yes.
Your neighborhood has a lot of little kids.
Yes.
Okay, back to you.
But when it gets nighttime, that's when you get the regular age kids.
Okay.
So that's when they should have to vault through seven circles of hell.
No, it's not circles of hell. It's just some lights and some decorations and a few animatronic things. We had an animatronic zombie crawling out of the ground and stuff.
Grabbing people's ankles.
No, there was no grabbing. It was a completely safe,
hit them with
fun,
a hose.
Well-decorated
choke
little
them out.
Walkway. Okay. That's all it was.
Right.
One of our windows had a guy looking out the window with, like, flashing lights behind
See,
him.
See, I feel like if I'm young, I don't want to do that.
If I'm 30.
That was the problem.
That was the problem.
Because I could hear, because of the animatronic motion sensor guy in the front of the walkway, I could hear when the kids were coming. I knew I had a little heads up. Because they would pass and it would say, "As I pondered, weak and weary." And it would start quoting the raven and they'd be like, "Rah, rah, nevermore." And it would, you know, it's fun.
So to find fun,
I would hear that several times. It happened to me last night. I would hear that, and then I would hear the debate start with the kids in the front of the house saying, "Nope, no way, mm-mm. I'm not going down there. Come
really?
On, you go first. No, you go first. Nope. All right, next
Did
house.
Did anyone turn
next house? Yes.
They left.
I could hear kids like just nope, balk. Just forget it.
Didn't you step out and go, "Hey, it's okay"?
It's a long walkway. I'm not just like screaming at kids. "Hey, kids." Then I'm even creepier. Then I'm the guy like, "Hey, come on in my house, kids. No, come on in.
It's all cool.
I got stuff in here." I'm Pennywise.
All right. Sudden. So maybe that was a bad idea.
Everything floats down here, Billy. So
what percentage of
some kids turned
made
away?
Made the gauntlet of death.
Some kids turned away. Well, the kids went balls. Kids with courage,
what percentage?
They earned their candy.
What percentage?
But little wussy kids got nothing. But it broke my heart when I would hear several times in the course of the evening, kids
you
going,
go first.
"Nope, I'm out." Nope, not me. Let's next house.
Now are you going to turn it down?
Yeah, I'm going to tone it down a little bit, I think, next year. Next year, we'll be just all fluffy white clouds and unicorns and
kids will go, this sucks, let's move on.
Just make it very friendly. And so the kid catcher did not work.
Well, that's too bad.
Yeah, sad news. All right, let's talk about some show business, shall we? Mark Wahlberg's movie Patriots Day about the Boston Marathon bombing has been finished and will close the American Film Institute Festival the 17th of this month at the TCL Chinese Theater in Los Angeles. This movie is getting rave reviews already. A lot of buzz about this film.
It's a riveting story. Wasn't that the one, Ralph, where they ended up finding one of the guys hiding in a boat in someone's backyard?
Yeah.
Remember that?
It was a terrifying incident, and some real heroes rose that day for the city of Boston. And Wahlberg, of course, being Bostonian himself, this is a story close to his heart. But everyone's saying there's even Oscar buzz already, and this film hasn't even been
in
the theaters yet. But the cool thing is survivors from the actual bombing itself will be attending the world premiere that will be held in Boston on December the 14th.
Oh, that's cool.
It's very cool. And then the movie will be in theaters nationwide on January 13th of next year. So we'll have to wait a while to see it. But people are already talking about good things about a film called Patriots Day. So I wanted to give you a heads up to look for it in a theater near you when you get the chance. A lot of people talking about what celebrities dressed up as Halloween at Halloween. Bean was going on and on about Taylor Swift and her Deadpool costume.
Yeah.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, this was the actual Deadpool costume from Ryan Reynolds, right?
That's right. Because she's friends with Blake Lively, and her husband, Ryan Reynolds, has the real costume from the movie, so she just borrowed that.
Ugh. He'll never be able to wear that again, right?
Right. Ruined it.
With her stink all over it.
Right.
Oh, you know she just smells bad, too, right? You
can tell.
You can
tell. I don't think she smells
just
bad.
Just look at her. You know. Oh.
That outfit is decaying
just
right
like
now.
Sulfur. It's like sulfur.
No.
And, when the bay backs up, you know?
Like sewage?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Come on.
Imagine how bad she smells,
right?
Man.
Like demons?
Demons.
She is an abject, psychopathic demon from hell.
Right.
Alex Jones
is right.
Rock star Taylor Swift.
Right.
That's who we're talking about.
Yes. And a lot of people have said about Hilary Duff and her boyfriend, Jason Walsh. They ruffled some feathers with their Halloween costumes. Hilary was a sexy pilgrim, while her personal trainer turned boyfriend dressed as a Native American in full headdress and face paint. And here's what we were talking about this a little bit earlier in the show, but here's my thought. It's you run the risk if you're going with a questionable costume of offending some people, but I think even more so the onus is on you to think twice when you're in the public eye. If you're going to be at George Clooney's Halloween party, which is where they were.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they're shooting a ton of pictures, and you know those pictures are going to be on the internet and all over the place. Maybe you want to err on the side of caution before you dress in something that could be considered racially insensitive. And this was the case, so naturally they had to issue apologies. Hillary, she sent out an apology saying it was not properly thought through, and she was sorry. From the bottom of her heart emoji, because she's 12, apparently. And her boyfriend also sent out a statement saying, he meant no disrespect. I only have admiration for the indigenous people of America. In hindsight, I would have not have made that decision. I apologize to anyone I may have offended, wrote his publicist for him. So everybody is sorry, and they will never do it again. It's bad. It's bad to be bad.
It's bad to be bad. Good note.
And more costume news. Cookie Monster. A costume Cookie Monster in Times Square in New York tried to break up a fight between a Native American and a pilot. Apparently, the pilot thought the Native American was being racially insensitive, and so he pulled out a knife and tried to stab him. Which I think is a reasonable response.
You're being racially insensitive.
I don't like how insensitive
you're
being.
I'm
going to stab you.
What?
First of all, how did the pilot get through TSA with that knife in his pocket? I have no idea. That's
you said
ridiculous.
They were in Times Square, I think.
Oh,
yeah,
that's right.
They weren't actually.
Maybe he wasn't a
not
real
an actual pilot.
I don't think it was a real Native American either. Mm. But the Cookie Monster was real.
Yep.
Sure.
Because he did the right thing. He stepped in and tried to make peace and tried to break the two up and stop the fight. And that's when the pilot plunged the knife into his back.
He stabbed the Cookie Monster?
He stabbed Cookie Monster. Cookie Monster took himself to the ER. And thankfully, can you imagine being a doctor in an ER?
The Muppet ER?
In Halloween in New York City. Can you imagine the stories? No. Maybe we should open up the phones next Halloween. We should talk to ER staff and say,
Tell us the weirdest thing that walked through the door of the ER Halloween night in your life, in your world.
That's not a bad
idea. Let's talk about the injuries and the costumes therein.
Because you see that? You see that? You see how white people do?
I don't know if the pilot was white or not, man. It's just a guy with a knife. Anyway, Cookie Monster was fine. The injury was not life-threatening. Wasn't too bad, apparently.
You don't stab the Cookie Monster.
Mm-mm.
Am I right?
I've said it for years.
I mean, that's our stance, right?
Yeah.
Cookie Monster, he's...
We have to take a stance on this.
Everybody loves Cookie Monster.
Right?
That's what I'm saying. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Penn Badgley's 30 years old today. Toni Collette turns 44. Jenny McCarthy, she was in Playboy. And then she's done some other things.
She's a host of TV Singled Out.
Co-host.
Sorry.
My friend Chris Hardwick might beg to differ.
That's correct.
44 years old today. Anthony Kiedis from the Red Hot Chili Peppers turns 54. Fernando Valenzuela. Remember Fernando Mania?
Sure. I do.
Back in the day, Dodgers legendary pitcher. He's 56 today. And Hustler founder Larry Flint celebrates his 74th birthday. I think Larry Flint celebrates a birthday. How do you think?
That trying to stand up to reach something on a high shelf?
Oh, come on. That's insensitive.
Every time we talk to him,
insensitive. I don't like where this is going.
Right? He always seems to forget he can't walk.
KRock.com. That's right. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. On your drive home today, let's do a commercial-free 5 p.m. hour random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. Tomorrow morning, Stryker's going to call in. He can actually talk backwards.
That's the rumor.
For real.
He can look at a sentence
yes.
and then read it and say it backwards.
Correct.
Okay.
We also have Bean's Death Corner, and we will be joined by Jerry Springer as well.
Jerry. As am I. As am I.